Mike show in the deals in the D.com studios. I'm Drew Lane. Mark Fellhauer's here. Brandon via Zoom.
Hello.
And this is just such a weird year and such a weird day. I'm watching the Tigers game and they go, oh, this will be the Tigers' last chance because it's the bottom of the seventh.
Oh.
Playing a doubleheader. He's like, what? This is like Little League.
Oh, stupid.
I mean, I remember in high school when you had a doubleheader, it was seven-inning games, but that was the last I remember playing seven innings. It just seems so rinky-dink to me.
Are they having orange slices and Capri Suns?
Yeah, I think the moms
games?
Are down on the field now.
They're all sitting
in thermoses.
Cross-legged in the outfield. So weird.
And then I'm just kind of stumbling through some prep just before I was coming down here to see Yenis Céspedes is missing, the former Tiger.
Yeah.
That was a great player. And so I yelled down to you, what's going with Céspedes? And the answer is?
He opted out. He just didn't tell his team that he opted out of playing in the majors right now. I didn't know you could just do that.
Mark, it's really, it's like Little League now. Guys just quit.
I quit. I quit. Yeah. I'm not going to play anymore. I don't feel like it. And we're just going to play seven innings because nine innings is too long for two games.
And we'll make the rules up as we go.
Too hard.
Yeah. I don't know. They're changing everything as they go.
What's going on?
And some teams will play 60 games and some teams will play like 20, like the Marlins. Some will play 40.
I saw Scott Boras today suggested that they extend the season into November. So they can complete the schedule?
Into November, so we can play in snow?
How are cold weather teams going to do
get
that?
Get out of here, Boras.
Yeah, what is that all about? Because his losing commissions, that's why.
Yeah.
They're pretty dumb sometimes.
It is really stupid,
yeah.
Man.
The NHL started up, though, and right into the playoffs, too, over the weekend.
Yeah, that game lasted long last night because I was looking for the Jamie Samuelson story on Fox, on NBC. And the hockey game was still going right up to 11:30. I think it was overtime. Did a lot of people watch hockey last night? Do we know? They probably did.
I would assume so. I threw it on. I didn't understand what was going on with the format of the playoff because it was like a 12th seed. I'm like, oh, there's 12 seeds now?
Wait, oh, for the hockey playoffs.
Yeah. Brandon, you can explain it.
Yeah, there's just additional teams this year in the playoffs. And then whoever gets eliminated in that first round, one of those teams is going to get a chance to get the number one overall pick. Because the Red Wings got screwed a while back. But to tell you the truth, I didn't even know until I turned it on and hockey was back. I was like, oh, my God, it's on now.
I know it was weird when I saw it last night. And I had read the story about Matt Dumba, who plays for the Wild, had come out before this game that the Wild weren't even in. It was Quebec and somebody. Hmm. And he gives a speech about, he said, systematic racism. I assume he meant systemic racism. Systematic.
I watched that whole thing. I didn't know I didn't know he was a player.
I wasn't sure who he was either, but he's black, and there were some black players there. But the scoreboard had this giant "End racism" on it, and then Black Lives Matter, and then he's going on. He's talking, and he's saying all the usual things. Hockey's a great game. It could be a whole lot greater, and he says racism is everywhere, and then he kneels for the national anthem, and then he stands for O Canada.
Well,
what was that all about?
He doesn't have a problem with Canada's racism, I guess.
So Canada's all, everything is hunky-dory, there's no racism in Canada?
Well, I mean, aside from their prime minister.
But he says that hockey...
His blackface.
He says that hockey has racism. Well, Canada's part of the NHL, and not only that... he announced this, or he's on this Hockey Diversity Alliance, which is seven players, former and current, who their goal is to eradicate racism and intolerance in hockey. So I ask you, Brandon, I'll ask anybody, is the feeling that the reason there aren't more diverse NHL rosters because of racism? Is that the feeling? I don't even know.
Well, recently there has been stories that have come out. The Akeem Alou, he was one of the players that was on the Blackhawks, and he was on another team. He ended up getting into a fist fight with some turd, some asshole who was, you know, a pretty bigoted jerk off. And, you know, he knocked out all his teeth. This kid was 17 years old, and it was all basically, he says, because of his ethnicity. Now,
but I mean, is hockey trying not to let black people play hockey? Is that because
I don't think so. To tell you the truth, I think hockey is a very expensive sport. I think hockey has ice time. It has a lot of pads. It has a lot of gear. It has a lot of sticks.
Well, you're saying black people don't have any money? That sounds kind of racist.
No, and I'm saying that, to tell you the truth, a lot of wealthy kids play it, and that's all I can tell you.
I knew plenty of kids that weren't that wealthy that played hockey. I mean, it's an expensive sport for equipment. It's not that expensive.
Same thing with golf. I mean, you spend a couple hundred dollars sometimes just going to one golf course.
Well, if you want to play in a $200 golf course, I don't know. I never see many. When I used to skate as a kid,
I don't know.
All the kids skating were white. I mean, I never saw anybody who was not white at the skating rink.
I'm going to get racial here. I'm going to get racial.
I just had a feeling that hockey didn't really appeal, or golf for that matter. I don't know. Because when Tiger Woods was so good, people, all these black people are golfing now. It's great. And
it also is a winter sport. And isn't basketball tend to be going on in the winter, too? Like from the high school level?
Are those seasons concurrent? You just need a hoop and a ball for that.
No, but the seasons are concurrent. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. These all seem like very simplified. I'm sure the answer is more complicated. But I just was not really aware that there was this feeling that hockey was... It sounded like hockey was trying to push other diverse people out of hockey. That's the way they made it sound with this diversity alliance. Because sports, generally speaking, my experience in sports, and I played with a lot of different people from different places, was that if you were good, nobody cared what you looked
like.
They really don't.
Yeah.
They want to win. Yeah. And in college baseball, when you're giving guys scholarships and things, you don't give scholarships to people because they don't play well, but they look the right way. Or you won't be a coach for long.
Yeah.
Sports is usually ahead of the curve on this sort of thing, but I didn't really know hockey had a problem, so to speak. But anyway,
I think you're more of a racist than I am.
The players were all standing for the national anthem. I should point that out. And also, the NBA, the Magic game, one Magic player was standing, and he was getting a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Which I thought, wait, somebody's getting shit for standing for the national anthem now?
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac. I've never even heard of him. So kind of a smart move on his part.
He didn't wear his BLM warm-up shirt either. Now, the story I read on Friday, I think they were talking about, was it Charles Barkley who doesn't like the BLM or somebody? They were referencing a few people that do not like the way BLM operates or something to that effect. People were black. And I don't think that's what this guy was saying necessarily, but people were demanding to know why he was standing. And it's like, look, if he wants to stand, you're supposed to stand for the national anthem. I mean, that's generally how people do it. You don't have to kneel, just like you don't have to stand. I don't think you should have to explain himself.
Well, he said, I believe that Black Lives Matter. I went into my decision. First off, my thought that kneeling or wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt doesn't go hand in hand with supporting black lives. And then he continues. He spoke about his faith, and he said the evils in our society, including racism.
Okay,
the answer to solve that is the gospel.
I don't even want to hear all this stuff because it's like he stood for the national anthem. Is that really something that requires a lot of explanation?
No, but it's opposite of what people's I think expectations were, and so therefore they can't handle it.
Well, who cares? You don't have to explain yourself for standing for the national anthem. No one has to explain themselves.
I agree with that.
Barkley did come out and he said, if people don't kneel, they're not bad people. He said, I'm glad they had unity, but if we have a guy that doesn't want to kneel or the anthem means something to him, he should not be vilified for that.
I only was reading in certain places. I mean, I don't know if he was really getting that much crap or if it was just a lot of Twitter people. Or
I'm sure it was.
I guess some of the basketball types were not real happy with him. But
oh, well.
Whatever. Okay, let me mention We're on Facebook Live, so I should mention our sponsor on Facebook Live, which is Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Oh, boy, people may have water now.
I mean, oh, yeah.
A lot of
it's
rain.
Bad.
Mm-hmm. If you do, or, you know, you've had water, like leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher, or maybe you got a 6 inches in the basement or a foot in the basement, or you've got mold left
cut
over
off the
from
water.
Call 877-JOB-DONE and get it taken care of. Emergency Response Services Incorporated. That's what they do. Or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com if you have any questions. And also, they do storm damage, fire damage, mold, as I mentioned, and COVID-19 if you're concerned about service vehicles or your office or whatnot. Call 877-JOB-DONE for Emergency Response Services Incorporated.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
And Jamie Samuelson, when I was watching the Tiger game, they had a nice piece on Jamie, and they had his picture on the scoreboard, and they had a moment of silence before the game, too, which is really nice. And Gardenhire, I guess, spoke about him, too. So, in fact, all four teams, the Tigers, Pistons, Lions, and Red Wings, all tweeted something out wishing Jamie's family well, which is really nice. And great guy, nice guy. Nobody didn't like Jamie Samuelson.
No.
But he just died so fast. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
And he was on the air that day, Monday.
Did you ever listen to that when 97.1 posted it?
Him when he was on the air talking to Stoney?
Yeah.
I did not.
So I, you know, obviously saw the story and I called him, left him a message. And, you know, just thinking, okay, he's going to fight this and win. And then I listened to that on, I think it's Thursday, and it sounded bad, and it sounded really bad, and then got some information.
He didn't sound well?
I didn't think he sounded well. Didn't sound like himself, and it was just really crushing. Then got some more information on Friday that, yeah, it was indeed really, really bad. And I don't know. The whole thing fucking sucks. I mean, 48 years old.
Yeah, with three kids who are young, 16, 14, 11, I think. And Christy, who's, I know Christy. She's a real sweetheart, and I wish her the best. Christy, Christy's working for DET or public television,
yep.
And she's anchoring. So,
when you were gone from Riff, they brought Jamie in and clicked with him immediately. I think over a love of Conan and Seinfeld, a lot of TV because I guess that's just the only way to click with me is to talk about television. So,
hey, it helps. It's the great common denominator.
It really.
Who doesn't watch television? If they don't, I don't want to know you.
Yeah, and so I remember like 2 weeks after he's working there, just talking about, what are you doing this weekend? And just kind of shooting the shit. And I go, so are you going to temple? And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm like, you're not religious. You don't go to temple. He goes, no, I'm not Jewish. I said, you're not Jewish? He goes, why did you think I was Jewish? I said, well, your name's Jamie Samuelson. He goes, yeah, but it's S-E-N. You'll see people misspell it all the time now.
Is Samuelson a Jewish name?
Samuelson is, but not Samuelson. Apparently, this is what I learned from
Jamie.
Did
you know that, Brandon?
No, I had no idea.
And then Jamie goes to me, he goes, well, my nose too, I guess. That's racist of you. But so from then on, we always...
Cancel him!
There was always jokes, and him and Bentley and I would text back and forth for years about certain things. And I remember Jim bought him Manischewitz and matzah crackers this one year, and they sat in our office till the end of Riff, pretty much, because you know he didn't want them. But I don't know. We always got along. I feel like he looked out for me. He advocated for me at times at certain places. So,
well, Jamie. Yeah. Everyone, he worked with a lot of different people and got along very well. Which people in sports now, it seems like you have to do 19 different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably worked very well for
him. There's a lot of jerks in that business too, and he was not one of them, man.
No, not at all. He was the fan in 94. He was young when he came to Detroit. Yeah. You know, he went to Northwestern and he was here in 94. He would have been, what, 22? Yeah. 26 years ago. How about that? And within a year, he was doing the updates. And then in 95, he was doing Middays with Greg Henson. That's when I started listening to Jamie. And I thought that was a good show. I liked that show. Greg was good, and Jamie was good with Greg. And then he went to Morning Drive with Greg Brady for quite a while, I think 8-9 years. And then he was on Riff with Mike and you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to CSX for a couple years.
Yeah. So we still saw him.
And then it was Evenings with Wojo, that kind of weird shift where they get cut off.
Yeah, hated that. Not because of Wojo. He loves Wojo, but he just, you get 45 minutes most of the day. Most of the time.
I don't know what. Seems like they should do something else with that. And then Stoney in the morning from 2016 on. And so, yeah, he worked all of his. And he was working on Fox, too, the pregame show and the Sunday nights at 11.
You know who he replaced on the pregame
show? Tom Kowalski. Yeah. Killer. Yeah. A chink spot. He wrote for the Free Press, wrote for Freep.com. He just did all kinds of things. And he was 48. And I saw Tony Paul's headline. Tony covered all this. Yep. Smart, sincere, but never had to be the star. And he was egoless, was the word so many people used. The one that I just got me to, you know, I mean, I've been aware that he died for almost a whole day now. But when I saw the screen at Comerica Park said 1971 to 2020, I was like, oh, it's just something so final about that.
48, man.
And I called Stoney, and Stoney didn't feel like doing anything today, but he might. Maybe he'll join us in a couple days, or maybe we'll get somebody else. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Anyway,
well, there's no shortage of people that want to talk about him.
No, I thought probably he would, but maybe he's, you know, I think they're all kind of, it was just a bad wind, the whole thing, the tough week.
Well, if you didn't know, too, it's like, you know, gone in a week.
Yeah, I didn't hear the Monday thing. I'm kind of glad I didn't now. Dr. Yaldo's back, and maybe this is a sign that things are finally getting normal. A trusted friend, supporter of the show. The Yaldo Eye Center is open to perform state-of-the-art custom LASIK for people 45-plus multifocal lens implants. Also, the staff is 100% healthy, following all regulations, daily temperature checks, working with pristinely safe equipment. Corona's forced a lot of change and discomfort, but one thing you can look changing for the better is your eyesight. Until Corona, many of our listeners enjoyed freedom from a life without glasses and contacts and now see way better than they ever did with those old, annoying technologies. Dave said, getting my teeth cleaned hurt more. Michelle said, I've saved on costs, hassle, and all that time putting those stupid contacts in has been life-changing. Yeah, contacts are just unbearable. I just can't
do
it.
They're the worst, yeah.
Carly, just 19, was legally blind without contacts, is now thrilled to be 20/20. Get a free evaluation. Find out which procedure will change your life in ways only you can imagine. 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you. It is painless, fast, and safe. And $1,500 off. Drew and Mike discount is alive and well. Well, that's in the bottom notes there. Be done with hassle. Support those who have stood by us, the Yaldo Eye Center. Glad to have them back, and I hope some people, if you're thinking about doing that, please try Dr. Yaldo. Have him get an appointment over there.
I feel like COVID's wiped everything out, man.
And I was watching the money going into Royal Oak, the Royal Oak Bucks this weekend. There were like something like 500 people actually went in and spent their $20. I'm sure a lot of them took Lyft and got $10 off to go into town and $10 off on the way home because Royal Oak was busy. And it was a rainy weekend, or it was a rainy Saturday anyway, and not the nicest Sunday either. I haven't seen the Sunday dashboard yet, but downtown Royal Oak, of course, all kinds of shopping and dining options such as Luigi's, Right Impressions, Paper Trail Books, lots of shops and restaurants like Ale Mary's and Tom's and Mesa and Lily's and what's the pumpkin? What
Jolly Pumpkin.
Jolly Pumpkin, yeah. I just noticed they were getting a lot of people in there. With the certificates. Did I bring them? Oh, yeah, my phone's charging. Okay. Downtown Development Authority has already given away up to about $400,000 in downtown dollars. Many of you are holding them. Go on. Get into town. Spend them in Royal Oak. And remember, you get the $10 off Lyft going in and $10 off going home if you use Go to Royal Oak. That is GO2RO, the code, to get your $10 off. And they're going to unleash some more money, too. So if you didn't get involved in this, you might as well jump in there. Yeah, so good deal, and a lot of people out, and boy, they're really happy. I mean, there's a lot of people suffering and struggling right now, but Royal Oak merchants are very pleased. Things are picking up. I don't know. I feel like we really haven't figured out what all the results of so many people not working, and you know, so many people who are, you know, not been able to work or been furloughed, or I mean, there's got to be some result to that that's not terribly pleasant. And I know they still are dicking around trying to figure out how to give us money.
I know.
Oh, frustrating.
Why is it that hard?
I don't know. It seems to me when you have a stalemate, you compromise. You go, okay, I'll give this, you give that, and eventually everybody wants to do the right thing, right?
Yeah, right.
No. I mean, you think that.
Mean, by right thing, do you mean a politician keeping his job when the next election comes up?
That's not the right
whatever
thing.
Whatever side,
that's the
whoever
thing,
it is. I don't know. I don't know what's taking them so long on it. I guess doesn't this really show that we need a major overhaul in how the state handles unemployment, all states? And
so
how they
need a moderator. We need an arbitrator or something. Because, like we stated last week, when one party puts out a bill, they get very upset because, hey, wait a minute, you put stuff in there from Planned Parenthood, and they get angry about that. Pull that bill. Then
it's so
stupid. The other
stupid party
does the same thing. Wait a minute, you put money into the defense, into we don't need that pork. And so it's just
and get rid of all of it bigger. And just figure out how much money you're going to get to people.
There are a lot of people who are about to lose their ability to have shelter because, you know, they have been helped by laws or current, you know, at least temporary laws that would not allow someone to kick them out based on not paying rent. Well, that, of course, can't go on forever, and I guess that ended. So now people can kick you out because landlords can't go without rent for indefinitely and just house people out of the kindness of their hearts forever. Sure. That ain't going to work. I don't know. We're going to have a whole bunch of people on the streets who've never been on the streets before. I'm not sure how this is going to work.
I mean, the banks, the feds have supported the banks, which then should support, well, and this more commercially, those big loans that a lot of commercial buildings have.
Well, but
there's a little bit of
there's a lot of landlords, though, who aren't getting
forbearance. No, I know.
And that's money they count on. So I don't really know.
You kick them out and then they're going to be able to replace them. Or do you talk to them and make a deal? I don't know.
I think the demand is a problem, too, especially, you know, some places have really had a staggering amount of people.
I got time. I'm sick of hearing stories about New York's losing people. I don't care.
It's not just New York, though.
No, I know.
A lot of urban areas are.
The focus seems to be New York.
Well, they have the biggest numbers. So, but it's driving rents down. And
well, that's how a market works.
Yeah, that is how a market works. It would be de-gentrification, I guess. So it's good for somebody. I don't know. I'm not an expert on it. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because it's just sad
government.
Anyway. But, God, there's just so many weird things. This Cespedes thing, I just couldn't get. And then I'm about to come down here, and I see some Kansas City chief has been volunteering at a hospital, and he said, oh, I'm not going to play. I've seen enough of this.
Yeah, he's got three names. Jonathan, he's a doctor, though, isn't he?
They said Super Bowl star.
He's an offensive lineman.
Okay.
But he actually has a doctorate, I think, from McGill. So, I don't know. Maybe he's stuck in Canada and can't get down here.
So, how many guys have opted
out?
Duvernay-Tardif, yeah.
Do we know how many guys have opted out of football and baseball?
I can pull it up on any website because they actually
we're talking 20 guys or 15 guys or 10 guys?
For football?
Either. I'm interested in both because baseball has lost like five people in the last few days.
That's because they can't stay out of the casinos.
Not those guys. I mean guys who've just said, I'm not playing.
They're opting out. I don't know. Football is the new one, and obviously the big story was Matthew Stafford.
Oh, he's got coronavirus.
He's on the COVID-19. Well, they can't say if he has coronavirus.
Oh, he does. Galladay does, too.
What?
Galladay does, too.
Yeah. Did you see their testing and how they're doing it?
I didn't.
Stafford had to test Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then they open up, I guess, the training facilities, because then you're cleared after those three tests. So one of those three he tested negative for, if not all of them, or positive, if not all of them, which I thought that was really interesting that they can test each player three times in a week.
Well, I'm glad they have so many the ability to test so quickly,
exactly.
And no one else does.
Exactly.
I mean, just so they can tackle each other and spread coronavirus. I mean,
the guy's got four young kids. What incentive? Why would he want to play?
Because he's got four young kids.
And because he's a good athlete, and he's not going to, coronavirus isn't going to knock him out.
Yeah, this year is one of his prime years to be a quarterback, and he's probably, he's been at home. He's been taking care of his wife for a long time. He's been taking care of those little girls.
Isn't
he wants to get out of the house.
Isn't she compromised too, though?
Well,
I don't know that she is she compromised. I have no idea.
I mean, she had surgery. I just wonder.
Yeah, I can't even pretend to know what her medical data is.
No.
But I'm surprised as many athletes opt out as they do because they seem scared, And I wouldn't think a really great athlete, a young athlete, would be frightened of coronavirus unless there was, you know, some immediate family member that it was at risk. And maybe that's the case in some. I know the Brewer guy, Kane, quit.
Oh, he did?
He opted out. And somebody else opted out the same day. And now football, and now Cespedes, and there's a Lion player who opted out, too, who I'd never heard of.
Oh, yeah, the new signee. I can't even remember his name, and we talked about it 10 minutes ago.
Whatever. I don't think he's going to hurt the Lions too much. I don't know if they're playing.
We've sat through and watched scab football players, right? And we enjoyed it. So doesn't, yeah, Geronimo, thank you, Ben, on Facebook Live. But we've watched these, you know, strike seasons with scab players, and we still love the sport. So it almost doesn't matter who's in it.
I see 34 NFL players.
Is it 34? Wow.
Wow.
Hey, can somebody pull up the Pac-12 players' demands to play football? Because this is like, oh, wow.
I like how very specific they are in them, too. They're not specific at all.
But the ask is pretty dramatic. Now, these guys have bargaining power all of a sudden because they don't make any money.
No.
The only reason college football wants to play is to pay all the people that earn salaries, like coaches, assistant coaches, people in the athletic center,
500
softball coach, the soccer coach. Yeah, they all depend on this small group of people to tackle each other and give each other CTE so that they can get paid.
I know, and to that point, there's a big research paper done to say, like, what the average salary should be based on, like, a 47 to 50% revenue sharing for an athlete.
Which is about what they do with the NFL.
In the Big Ten, per year, each football player should make $412,000.
If they all made the same amount.
Based on the revenue coming in and sharing.
That seems low to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Aren't there? Well, I don't know if they use scholarship use scholarship athletes, that's 85 guys.
That's right. That's a lot of guys.
That's a lot of dudes. Basketball, meanwhile, would be $685,000. That's just the Big Ten. Meanwhile, you have the commissioners that make anywhere between, what, $4 and $6 million?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a really good time for football players to get together and say, hey, what are you trying to do here? There's nothing safe about playing this sport.
I would think
as it is. It's the worst idea ever in terms of not to get coronavirus.
If you were a commissioner, wouldn't you be like, okay, we'll do a 25-75 split. Sound good? Okay, do good, deal done. Because the writing's on the wall, so you might as well recoup what you can. But here's
they don't want to give up the 25%.
But they're gonna end up giving up something.
Yeah, I think they will. By the way, colleges, are they even having their classes on campus?
Probably not.
How can you have a football team on campus if you don't have your students on campus?
Well, the good thing about athletes is they don't like to gather in groups, be it at parties or...
No, they don't like girls.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It's the other way around.
They don't like going out and having a few drinks and trying to meet some ladies.
So here's the Pac-12 football players. They listed four major demands. Health and safety, reviving cut college sports programs, meaning like crew and all, you know.
Yeah, which I'm sure they're going, sports who cares? Forget about that.
Ending racial injustice in college sports and society.
How is the Pac-10 supposed to do that?
And providing economic rights for college athletes. But this is the part I thought
economic
you'd like.
Rights?
I guess that's them making money. But this is the part that I think you would find really interesting. And they wrote this all out in the Players Tribune. But a lot of their ire and focus goes towards Stanford because Stanford cut a bunch of those sports. I think they had the most sports in all of college. That's why they always
win. They're trying to survive.
They have an endowment of $27.7 billion.
They got rid of 11 of their varsity sports programs.
That's kind of what I said.
$27.7 billion. So I was like,
every time I read about a university, oh my God, I don't know how we're going to make it. And then I remember that Michigan State just wrote a check for $1 billion to pay off the people abused by Larry Nassar. No sweat, no big deal whatsoever. And then you find out, oh, they've got this many billion in doubt. And it's like, why are they charging so much? They've got billions of dollars just sitting here. As does Stanford, as does Michigan, as does all these Ivy League schools have billions of dollars sitting there. Why are they charging so much?
What percentage of an endowment do you think is re-rolled into a university every year? Out of their whole endowment, no matter how much.
20%?
Five. I watched a whole half hour on it. I'm sure, Brandon, you heard some of that stuff when I was listening to it. I'm trying to figure out what
is the endowment
for?
Why do they have to operate with this giant endowment?
It's for rich people to get their kids into school there.
Oh, I see. So it keeps growing. They can't help how big it gets.
They
want to
keep it
growing. These rich people go, I'll throw $1 million at you. Just let my fucking kid get his degree from there.
Harvard has as much cash on hand as not Apple, Netflix, one of the big tech companies. Might have been Google.
Why don't they charge a lot less for tuition?
They have three times the cash on hand as the Coca-Cola company.
Why don't they charge less?
Because they don't have to, because people will still pay that amount to go there for some reason. I just don't understand.
Because they think they have to.
Well,
they think maybe. If they want to rise to the top. I mean, look at all the people in Washington. They're all from Harvard and Yale. They're all Ivy League.
As long as they think that they have to, they will. I mean, that's basic supply and demand.
I think there is a cult-like attachment to college degrees. I really do. I mean, I'm suddenly starting to see cults in everything. Although I haven't listened yet to Leah's new show on Scientology. I've been meaning to. Leah and Mike Rinder are doing it. The two that the TV show, Leah Remini. But, I don't know. I really, it's funny how many times I've said, boy, wouldn't it help, as far as all the things we're talking about, equality and justice and fairness, wouldn't it help if we weren't so obsessive about demanding people have college degrees? And, companies, they will, if something becomes a thing, whether it's not sexually harassing people or not having college degrees, they'll go along with it as long as they feel there's enough pressure. And it seems to me it would help a hell of a lot of people, because the number of black men getting college degrees is extremely low compared to black women, white men, white women. And so I got to believe that's holding back a lot of people. I mean, 83%, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of black people who are not sharing in opportunities job-wise. And,
so
and I think, too.
You want to make all universities public then and no tuition?
Well, schools are cool. Schools cost way too much. Schools cost way too much.
Okay, Bernie.
No, I'm not trying to get too crazy here. I'm just saying, if you wanted to help people and lift them up, one way you could do that is not insist that everyone has to go into terrible debt to get a college degree.
Sure.
Which so many people did in the last 10, 15 years, Brandon.
Well, Trump.
We want to help people.
I was bamboozled. I have a degree from an establishment that's not even an establishment anymore, damn it.
How
embarrassing.
Where's your
that
degree
is?
From?
ITT Technical Institute, baby. We had a hell of a wrestling program. No, we didn't. We had a quiz. I don't even think we had a quiz bowl team.
No, there's so many people who, and a lot of people went deep into debt and didn't finish college. So they're deep into debt and they don't have the degree that they need to open up all these doors that will never open for them. So, I know it's just thinking out of the box, but it'll never happen. Colleges will fight like hell to keep people coming and going deep into debt.
I don't know.
Even
I think there's
going to
be a change soon in some way, shape, or form. I think that, the growing anger against these colleges, I think either prices are going to come down or they're going to make it, universal education where people can go.
Well, they're really starting to crack me up because they're all saying that to get an online, to take classes on Zoom, they're not going to charge any less. Because they determine what the cost is and what the value of the education is, and they're not going to charge less whether it's in class or on Zoom. And if that's the case, then, who are they kidding?
So you're starting to see them charge less with these,
They're bargaining with people now.
Well, they're starting to charge less if you have a lower income to create that diversity of income.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
I'm just shocked when they talk about all this money they have and how are they going to make this up, that there's no talk about even touching the endowment.
They don't want to. That's why.
I know they don't want
to. No, they're businesses. They're just businesses, and the sooner everyone realizes that, the better.
But they're not businesses, though.
Yeah, they are.
They operate like them, but they're not. They're public universities, for the most part, not Harvard.
They act like businesses.
Michigan is a public university.
Look at how
funding from the state, but they're still.
Look how they've all handled their sex scandals. They fight like hell not to pay people.
Oh,
they protect the institution. They're not any different. And you're right about the endowments. Why are they sitting on these big endowments? Because they want to. Because they want to have lots of money. Because people get paid and they get incentivized to keep the money coming in and to not keep it going out and to keep the price going up.
The other fun thing I learned about endowments on this thing I watched is that they actually are earning less than if they just put it in a basic like ETF fund that mimics the market. Because they put it with these hedge funds and over the period of time they lost money. Because, you know, the hedge funds charge a lot of money to run that stuff.
Why would they?
They
just
make bad
investments.
They make bad investments. They make poor investments.
I know a lot of people do. A lot of the city of Detroit invested very poorly.
Why do they screw around? Because they have a shitload of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that money's not going anywhere. So it's easy.
And they have a lot of people that think they're smarter than the market.
So if you make, you know, over the course of 10 years, you make 5% instead of 7 on, you know, $10 billion, who's going to complain? Most people don't even know about it.
Well, the city of Detroit was making outrageous investments with friends of people on the board and friends of Kwame Kilpatrick.
Salt Lake, Michigan.
People
great investments.
Who had
a lot of death.
They had
and blood
no proof that this investment would ever work out. They had no information to that effect. They just would throw it at them. And, you know, when you have billions to invest, nobody notices when, you know, a couple hundred million fails, falls on its ass.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, when they had to cut the pensions for certain people, then they noticed. Mm. So,
my game is off. Ha ha.
There's some really wild entertainment news.
Oh, my God.
We'll get to in a second. But first, things are getting wild at Zot Ford and Holly. And, yeah, we're talking about the new Ford Bronco because you should reserve your new Ford Bronco with our friends at Zot Ford. Go to ZotFord.com. Follow the link to order your new Ford Bronco or full-size Bronco two-door or four-door. The hype is great. And it seems like it's justified, too. I hear a lot of people saying they want to get this sucker before it's gone. So, here's what you do. Well, first, Zot is still offering the Ford Promise. Buy or lease a new or pre-loved vehicle. And if you get canceled or furloughed or you lose your job in your first year of ownership, they will take your vehicle back. No penalty. Finally, the team at Zot Ford continues to have deals, deals, deals. The lease trifecta, lease a new 2020 Ford EcoSport or a new 2020 Ford Escape all-wheel drive or a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4. Your choice of the three. Each is as low as $166 a month. Yes, Zot Ford's trifecta gives you a choice of three brand new Fords for just $166 a month. Go to dealsinthed.com and see what your options are. And overreaction is not the strategy for the long-term investor. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best. So call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748 for put rational.
Put your endowment with Luke.
Yeah, Luke could have
He'd
fun with that endowment.
His hand on an endowment.
Look for rational financial advice from Luke Nowacki. Coronavirus, what does that mean now and 6 months from now? 6 years from now? Stocks or bonds? Do you move your 401k, your college savings plan? Is your company in the right investments? Your pension funds, are they meeting their projected return? Get advice. Get a strategy. Call Luke, 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Remember, FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and our marketing and product service references here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. So there. Anybody for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
Oh, man, you want to talk to a newly wed couple? Ivan O'Neill
not normally.
And Jerry Sharada. Well, there's a little twist to it. They're both 91, and they just got married.
Is this a guy that came out to his daughter?
No. That's a different. No, this is a man and a woman. Ivan and Jerry.
Oh, it's a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Oh wait, Ivan and who?
Funny. Ivan, not Jerry J E R R Y, but G E R R Y.
Oh, okay.
But they had been friends all throughout high school. They knew each other. They got married. They still bump into each other at events. I just wonder, you know. If you ever got carnal between them. But then their respective spouses died 13 years ago.
I would just like to see the two of you get it on.
They started getting it on, and they got
13
married.
13 years ago? It took them 13 years to get married?
Well, yeah. They were probably having fun. You know, they were newly widowed.
Oh, okay.
And here's the fun part. They have a prenup at age 91.
What's...
Are you surprised by that?
Well, yeah, because somebody's going to go fast. Maybe. Hopefully not.
A prenuptial, though?
Well,
that's not a will.
But, you know, are you going to leave everything to the person you've been married to for 2 years?
I even wanted it to be short and simple, but it ended up being 30 pages, much to his dismay.
Ooh.
The write-up.
Who's got all the money, him or her?
I don't know.
Sounds like her.
Well, I would think him. He wanted it to be short and simple, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're probably right, Brandon. Probably is her.
Just listing all her assets. You don't get this. You don't get that. Your son can't play with this.
There's a long shot number, too. We called it last week. Remember, Brandon, when we tried Thomas Markle?
Yeah.
And I thought we were pretty confident that it might actually be Tom. I'm not joking. But it might be Thomas Markle.
Okay.
If you wanted to call him or try him.
Why in the world would you think this would be Thomas Markle's number? Really, Thomas
Markle. Brandon, do you want to explain it? I can explain it, but
just call. Okay, let's just call and get it over with while I'm talking about Hall Financial. I don't want to hear the explanation. I just don't want to hear the doo-doo-doo.
No, it rang through. Okay, his city had never been listed before. We had never known what city he lived in.
Okay. I have a feeling it's going to be another Thomas Markle, but we'll see. Hall Financial wants you to know mortgage rates are at a new all-time low. That's why so many people are refinancing
your
right now.
Your sense of adventure.
Lori, it's just getting a little wearied by doo-doo-doo. That's why so many people are refinancing now. Lower your monthly payments. Put money in your pocket. You might skip a couple payments. Low rates mean value. If you're on the market for that new home, remember, Hall Financial Services, the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. Not to mention refinancing. They do it in 19 days on the average. And we have some slowpokes who have brought that average down. I feel terrible about it.
Speaking of slowpoke.
Call 248-308-5000 or go to davidallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. NMLS number 1467435.
Did you see the fun new story on Thomas?
I saw a story that I could not believe.
He's finally given up hope of reuniting with Megan.
Oh, then he can give lots of interviews.
Because he read that new book. Come on, Markle.
Hello, you've reached the voicemail of Vincent Cush.
Yeah, right. That sounds just like him.
It's not even a Thomas Markle. Wait, is this a fake name for Thomas Markle? Thomas, we were hoping you could break your silence on our show, 248 number, if you could. We're so sorry about the way
I'm very upset with Megan and Harry right now.
I am appalled.
Tell me that didn't sound like him.
It was him.
It sounded a little like it's. No, it's Victor Cush.
You know what it wasn't? It wasn't
doo-doo-doo.
Well, it wasn't, but so, I mean, if you had called it ahead of time, would you have known that it was Victor Cush and not Thomas Markle?
It's an alias.
Oh, my God.
Here's another Megan story I think you'll find delightful. There's some good examples there.
I've seen some great stories about that. I've been trying to avoid this topic in general, because it just got so wrapped up in it. But just quickly, okay, first of all, there was a story about her hiring paparazzi when she first came to London.
Yeah.
To take pictures of her. So people go, oh my God, who's that? This is when she was on Suits and she didn't know Harry. So she's trying to generate phony importance for herself from the start.
Which is what she got mad at her dad for.
Yeah, ironically.
Apple don't fall far from the tree.
Then I just saw that they're trying to subpoena records from paparazzi who operate drone cameras, claiming that they're afraid that people have snuck pictures of Archie on their property,
which isn't their property.
Nobody fucking cares what your one-year-old kid looks like. They could put a picture of any baby and say it's Archie. Nobody fucking... your kid is not that special.
I think they'll... Go ahead, Brandon.
If anything, it's just some neighborhood kids who want to see Tyler Perry's house.
I think they only want a picture of the baby because she doesn't want them to have a picture of the baby.
That would be the best reason to have one.
Why doesn't she just sell it to people? People magazine doesn't even want a picture of Archie.
What do they think is so special? Like in 20 years, people are going to go, oh, look at that picture. Okay, now I know what he looks like so we can find him, even though he's 20 now. No, he looks like a baby. He looks like a stupid baby. It's not a special baby. In fact, I think the baby is below average, if I had to guess. Because Harry is no genius. His mother certainly isn't a genius. His father's nothing special. And Meghan Markle, we know who her father is. Her mother's, I'm sure mom's okay, but I think this child is less than average.
Zero.
I really do.
Yeah, but it's coming from a lot of money, right?
I'd say it's in like the 20th percentile. It has royal blood, which is not a real thing. It's just, it's royal blood.
It's up for question anyway. I mean, if you did a DNA test on the baby, there's no royal blood in there.
It's Hewitt, the horse guy.
Hewitt.
Gordon Diana.
I'm telling you, that baby could be the star of a show called Babies I Don't Care About.
Exactly. Nobody cares what this kid looks like. It doesn't look special. And she is Thomas Markle's daughter. He's nothing special. She is nothing special.
He doesn't even answer his phone.
Oh, my God. I'd say the baby will be in the probably the 20th percentile. Or is that the 80th? No, the 20th. It'd be the 20th, right?
Yes.
So it'd be in the bottom fifth, I'd say, of its class.
80% or better, yeah.
And I feel bad for the kid because it is going to be lacking a lot of important things because its parents aren't special.
But it will be able to get its own personal education on Black Lives Matter as people will come to the house and teach all about it.
Oh, yes. It'll know all about
the parents.
It'll know all about the important causes of the day.
And mental health. The baby will know all about mental health.
Meghan's half-brother, Thomas Markle Jr., speaks to her dad every day. As far as the reunion goes, she's given up on Meghan and Harry completely. He doesn't trust her and doesn't want to know that person because of lies, manipulation, and deceit.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He just had his 76th birthday. Needless to say, he didn't hear from Meghan.
Then why'd you
say that? What a bitch. Yeah. What's up with her? I mean, he raised her.
No, I know.
My daughter dumped me.
Years before she was the Duchess of Sussex, Markle gained a different reputation for holding up filming and photo shoots if everything wasn't perfect or she wasn't getting enough of the spotlight. She was always going to be coaxed out of her dressing room during promotional shoots because she didn't think she looked pretty enough. Well, she's Thomas Markle's daughter. Of course she felt that way.
She didn't think she was pretty enough.
And why didn't they just say, hey, look, we know your dad's Thomas Markle, so you're not that special. Get out here. Or her outfit wasn't right, or she felt she wasn't getting prominent enough placement in the picture.
Stupid bitch.
There were always tears every time.
Oh, boy.
Well, why don't you cry about it? Saddlebags.
She was crying on one shoot, and people told me, this is the new shoot coordinator, said, get ready, because she does it all the time. They used to call her the princess. Ooh. When I saw her right off the moment I arrived, the moment she arrived, I didn't even know who she was, and she was acting like a diva. I didn't even know who she was. Who is that girl acting like a diva?
Why is she crying?
It was the attitude, how she talked to people, the rules. She came in wearing a cap, hiding her face, and she had her head down, and people didn't even know who she was.
Classic girl move.
She doesn't want people to see her like you would do if you're walking in the street, you know, a paparazzi to take your picture. But she was just a girl on suits. She's acting like an A-lister. She's not even a D-lister. That's pretty funny.
I'm worthless.
It's the actual audio of her.
I'm not work material.
Well, you know, I'm sure sometimes she looks in the mirror.
I bring nothing to the table.
And she sees Thomas Markle and she realizes, oh,
my God. I have no job qualifications. I could never work a normal job.
That's my father. I'm obviously sub-average. I mean,
I have no skills.
What am I doing on the show?
I'm worthless.
Ellen. The Ellen story just gets really wilder. And I mean, I'm really blown away by this story.
Do you see
blown away.
There's one celebrity that supports her.
Yeah, Bieber's manager.
Scooter Braun, yeah.
That sounded so fake, almost like she said, oh, will you please say something nice about me?
He probably has a deal with her for something.
Okay, so this has been coming out in dribs and drabs, and then it just started like flowing out like lava. What a beast Ellen DeGeneres is to work for. And, you know, the show's been extremely successful. She's one of the biggest earners in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And this one guy started this Twitter thing. He said, hey, look, tweet something at me, a bad story I've heard about Ellen, and I'll give $5 to my favorite charity. And was overwhelmed.
That charity has so much money now.
He's declared bankruptcy. and it seemed
the
to open...
charity's donating money back to him.
It seemed like it opened the door, almost like people felt like, well, I might as well come out with my story, too. And it sounds like that workplace is just horrific, like the worst. Mm-hmm. People are talking about sexual harassment, racism. We heard all these stories about how she would send people home because they had bad breath, because they didn't chew gum before they talked to her, because she can't stand anyone who doesn't have great breath. I mean, she humiliated people.
Yeah.
And all this business about not being able to look at her.
Hey, nut breath, how's it going?
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
She was supposed to guest host or something in Australia?
She was supposed to be a guest
on
an Australian show.
Don't look at me!
And they were just beside themselves with all the advanced work that had to be done and all the lighting and all of this. And one of the things was, you can look at her. You can't look at her. You can't look at her. And they were serious. And these people were like, what the hell?
She is Dave Matthews. Wasn't that a Dave Matthews order when he came into the radio station?
Was Dave Matthews? Did he say that?
There was some...
Don't look at me!
When 105.1 was The Edge, and they used to have all those artists, and there was someone you were not allowed to look at.
Well, Dave Matthews seems like he's as big as anybody. He seems like a nice guy, though.
Actually, I think Dave Matthews was the one where his stalker was sitting in the front row.
Yeah, he was doing a private show in the business office or in the conference room, and yeah, his stalker had somehow won the contest. But anyway, it sounds like a horribly toxic workplace. So she tried to say, "Oh my God, it's terrible. I've gotten so big, I can't even keep up with it all. So I'm going to fire this guy." And she fired one of the executive producers. And I guess there was just a mutiny, just a pile of people who said, "Nope, not good enough. The fish rots from the top. She is part of this. It's not, she cannot blame these other people. That ain't going to fly." And she was getting so much shit. At one point, she said that she thought she was just going to pack it in.
Yeah, like she's just going to quit.
This, I've got to save my brand. I've got to save my brand, and I can't save my brand doing this show with all these people bitching.
I'm kind of surprised she just doesn't quit. Like, why? If this is that bad,
I think
bad,
she
why
likes
fight?
The attention, the importance, the
she
87
do
million
that,
a
though.
Year.
Well, there's your real answer. But how much money does she need?
She's worth $330 million, according to.
She'll be fine.
Celebrity net worth.
She need this
but
headache.
I think when you make it out there, your position on the power chart is so important. Because if you don't have that position, then you don't have anything. I mean, you probably
I
can't even get a
no
good table.
Skills.
There's Ellen commenting on the possibility of quitting. Now, she's denying, just as I was coming down, I saw that she's denying, no, I'm not going to quit. Yeah. But they had pictures of her looking all downcast, walking around somewhere.
She always looks downcast.
No, she's usually supposed to be so nice and everyone's so happy. And they said, no, she's not nice. It's not a nice place to work. People are not happy there. And it doesn't even matter what she says or how much she apologizes. People are, I mean, she's not going to get over on this one. It's not going to be like, I'm sorry, we'll fix it. And everybody just shuts up. Ain't going to happen.
And now she's got Brad Garrett after her. He'll never be on the Ellen show again.
And Leah Thompson.
Oh, man. If you don't, there's two people you don't want against you in Hollywood. It's Brad Garrett and Leah Thompson.
What show is Brad Garrett on?
He was on Everyone Loves Raymond. He actually seems like a really good guy.
Yeah, he seemed like a
nice
guy.
And stuff.
Well, I kind of took him credibly.
Where are the big interview? Where are the big people?
They're not going to say anything. No. There's no way they're going to say something. But, yeah, they both said, having been guests on the show many times, that they definitely thought something in the air was not good.
Somebody's breath, probably.
Could have been.
Maybe she dressed down her cushion flipper.
Leah Thompson has halitosis.
One of the really crazy things was that Telepictures, who must make a mint on this show, Telepictures said that they may have had enough. In other words, she may not quit, but they might quit her. So she'd have to, I'm sure she could find another company to, you know, produce it and put it out and all that stuff. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal, but to think that they would actually say, you know,
I knew how to quit you.
We've really had enough of this shit. That's pretty rough. I've never heard of that.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
And then, this is just so weird. Ellen, really?
I was going to ask, are you surprised that it's Ellen? Because
I don't know. I guess I am, yeah.
Really?
I think she kind of fooled me.
I just don't know like if being idiot. A mean boss is worthy of, you know, cancel her.
Sure, that's a good point. And I told you when I read that BuzzFeed article, it was just like, some of these complaints are a little.
Oh, she's not
a little bit of a brittle spirit with some of the complaints.
She will not be canceled. You can't cancel Ellen.
Unless there's some kind of systemic sexual harassment going on in that office.
Well, there is, but it's not her. It didn't sound like it was her.
Isn't that typical?
Were they saying it was her doing the harassing?
No, but start to the top. Like Brad Garrett said.
Well, and I think everyone agreed that she's not nice either. People were pissed because as soon as COVID hit, she just cut them off. She's like, I'm not paying these people. Then she did the show at home, and apparently she hired some other production crew, and they were like, hey, wait a second. Why? You cut us off, and then you hire another production crew to do what little production there is to do? What the fuck?
Did she get a PPP loan?
Probably.
She should have dipped into her endowment.
It's really, I'm surprised. Well, how did this stay a secret for so long?
Ellen. She's that powerful. Don't you think she's powerful?
Absolutely.
The world of Hollywood.
And she's a lesbian, too. That helps.
Yeah, I suppose.
She's got a pretty good sized shield, I would say.
There's a lot of people out there that have that kind of shield.
Although she's had her moments, like she was yucking it up with George Bush, and we were like, how dare she yuck it up with George Bush?
I saw her people try to blame that. It's like, okay, right. There's enough individual accusations that I don't think that's really why people got mad. Get mad at that, but
no, this is not
to create stories if you work for her.
It's not one of those things that's just going to be gone tomorrow. No. It's a little bigger than that. Now, the fighter and the kid we've talked about.
There were snail trails on my chair. Like, no one should have sat in that chair after me. It was damp.
We've talked about gross. Brian Callen and the fighter and the kid. And are they both MMA guys or just? They're both comedians?
The fighter is, right? Yeah, they're both Brian comedians Callen, now.
You've seen him all over the place. He's been in movies. He's been in
The Goldbergs.
The Goldbergs. He's also been in Old School. He was in the Hangover movie. He played the guy who sold them all the wedding stuff. You know.
God, I just don't recognize him. He just seems nondescript.
He was talking to Joe Rogan when they were ripping us.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them are Joe Rogan buddies. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, once you're in the Joe Rogan world, it's almost a license to print money because Joe Rogan has 10 million people listening every day. So you promote something on Joe Rogan, it's going to go. And haven't they both had Netflix specials, The Fighter and The Kid? Or
I don't know how much The Kid has. I didn't really know too much about him until this podcast. I guess he was an MMA fighter, but I don't recall him being a superstar.
One of them had a Netflix special, and I believe it was that one I was reading about on Saturday that said it's one of the lowest rated, lowest watched Netflix specials ever.
And
I remember, I think Carl, you can correct me on this, I believe Carl told me that he didn't really think either one of them was a stand-up worthy of, you know, an HBO special or Netflix.
I was going to say the two things I know about him. Number one is when we watched that video of them talking about Chris D'Elia or Dahlia or whatever.
Yeah, one of them was crying.
And the number two thing I remember is that they went to Texas to do a live show and someone get COVID there?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're
on a good winning streak.
I couldn't figure out why are some of these people traveling to do comedy shows?
They don't care.
But they can't fill the place. They can only put like 50 people in there.
So you are right, the kid or the fighter guy, Brennan Schaub.
Okay.
Care to guess how well his special did on Netflix?
I heard it was terrible. Tomatoes?
Is this on the this is on the Tomometer?
Yes.
What's it called? I'm not going to look it up.
It's called You'd Be Surprised.
I'm going to guess got a 14.
I'll go 22.
7.
Is that critics or?
You know, that's only audience. They don't have a critic score.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, man. Critics don't think enough of them to even review them. Well, I got the feeling that it's the Rogan connection that gets both of these guys some deals and that they're really not worthy of it.
But they got to be. I think
Brian Callen cut his teeth in entertainment prior to Rogan. I mean, he did Mad TV, which was, you know, a lot of people.
Yeah, he's
Mad
done
TV.
Stuff. He has done stuff. I got to tell you, though, the podcast, I didn't even know about the podcast until Carl did the WATP thing on it, and I listened to it, and I'm like, this is really a high-rated, I just couldn't believe it. And then if you listen to Carl talk about it, you really can't believe it. But anyway, so yeah, he was accused of raping someone, and also
there's four counts.
Four different women say they were asked or forced to do certain things. One of them, I think, was told she had to perform some sex on him to get some stage time at a comedy club.
Well, it's a little different because Brandon and I were talking about this earlier. The rape one is very, very serious, I think. Don't you think, Brandon?
It appeared that way. I mean, it seemed like she's calling for actual abuse there.
Yeah, she said they had been friends for years. He raped her at his home after dinner. Where they were celebrating her booking a pilot. She felt powerless, didn't think she could escape from underneath his weight of his body and checked out, which we've heard that story lots of times. His story differs, and then one of his pieces of evidence.
He claims it was consensual, yeah.
Yeah, and that she wasn't into it and he stopped. And then years later, she auditioned.
That doesn't sound like a good. That side doesn't sound
defense.
Very powerful.
No, and then she auditioned for a TV show where she would have to play the role of his wife, in which he said, that's not what rape victims do, which I don't know if that's another good line of defense. Now, the other three, one is sounds like a sloppy attempt at trying to make out with an American Apparel employee in Pittsburgh, which oddly random. But she pushed him off, and he stopped. You know, he started kissing her neck, which, you know, kind of a dick move, but pales in comparison to the rape. The third one is a comedian who was just driving him home, and after after she dropped off the one friend, that's when he was saying, "Hey, if you blow me, I'll get you on stage and I'll give you some money." Which just sounds like an asshole. But
I
it's just
can't figure out how do you start that conversation.
I guess she was going through a divorce.
You hit on them and then it doesn't go very well, and so you go, "You know what? But if you would do that, then I get you some stage time." I go, "Well, okay, yeah, that's a good deal."
And the fourth accusation,
I think it'd be, it doesn't seem like it'd be a very enthusiastic sex act.
Well, he doesn't. Do you think he cares?
I don't know. I would think so.
And then he's getting blown. The fourth one is a woman that had a 4-year affair with him while he was married, and it sounds.
It's always nice to throw that in.
I know. It sounds that it's consensual, but she felt devalued and demoralized during the interactions, which because she was just the mistress and she didn't want to be the mistress. So
okay, he had an affair. That's not good, obviously. But she felt devalued.
And demoralized. I mean,
what did he do that is... No, I'm not even sure what that means.
Well, she's just trying to say he's a very bad guy.
But once again, should that be included in a story about a rape?
That's kind of what my original point is, that I don't know if the last two should be at all.
I think she also said that she had heard him say something to the effect that all women want to be raped. All women have rape fantasies or something. And I thought, you know, that sounds like a girl who...
That was
he had an affair with, and he thought better of it, or it didn't work out for one reason or another. I mean, who knows? It takes two to tango. And then she's like, and he said that one time that all women have rape fantasies.
Yeah.
So that matches up with a rape story. I don't know. That just sounds sour grapes.
But I mean, they're gonna pile all these on together, especially after we just heard him a week ago with his buddy on that podcast, you know, crying about.
That's right.
The Chris D'Elia accusations.
Chris D'Elia sounds just done to me. It doesn't sound like he's going to get a chance to come back.
I don't know why he ever started.
Neither. I know. It's really weird. It's like, if somebody has to be canceled, could it be someone who wasn't very good in the first place?
Yeah, people we don't like.
And somebody who even knows he shouldn't have been that good because he's trying to take advantage of the power he's not supposed to have to get chicks that he also shouldn't have.
Did you like Kellen's response, though?
No, I didn't.
Why? You didn't think it was a...
I've just heard it so many times.
Is it not forceful enough for you?
It just doesn't ring true. I don't know why.
Well, he's attacking cancel culture. That's what he's claiming it on.
He says, let me be very clear. I have never raped, forced myself upon any woman, nor offered to trade stage time for sex, ever. The horrific and false allegations originated in today's LA Times... We'll be addressed in detail in a special Saturday night edition of my podcast,
Brilliant.
The Fighter and the Kid, tomorrow.
Where's the podcast?
I will not allow the cancel culture to subvert what I know, and as importantly, what these women know, is the truth.
I looked at the podcast,
and I think it got taken down.
Taken down?
I don't know. I can't find it. I go to Twitter, and people are like, hey, where'd the podcast go? It's not there anymore.
Hmm.
So maybe it's there, and I'm just stupid, and I can't find it, but I'll keep looking.
Okay. Then also in the entertainment world, this story, I really wanted to find this person. Julian Mapes did a review of Taylor Swift's new album.
Jillian, right?
Jillian, yeah. For Pitchfork, and Pitchfork can be pretty harsh. Anyway, she gave it an 8, which is really pretty good for Pitchfork.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
That's really good for Pitchfork.
It's
They're
pretty
notorious
good.
For shitting on albums.
But apparently the Taylor Swift crowd finds that unacceptable.
Come on, man.
And they just...
What? You need to leave.
They doxed Jillian Mapes. And her phone number went out. Her dress went out. Pictures of her. Here's what she looks like. So the Swifties can go after her. And the part that really pisses me off about this is, once again, Taylor Swift says nothing.
Oh, God.
Nothing.
Let's say that I like Taylor's music about 25% less now, okay?
And I almost feel like Taylor Swift believes that this is the right thing, because if you remember, when she was so angry about her music being purchased and her not being allowed to play it, which was a lie, was total bullshit.
Total lie.
She is the one who put out that long post about, they stole my music from me and nobody warned me. And, blah, blah, blah. And when actually she was told, she had a chance to buy it herself. She chose not to.
Yeah.
And then when she didn't like who bought it, she explained this in her very special self-centered way, not the truth. And then at the end tells her followers, her what, how many million? I mean, it's millions and millions. Let them know how you feel about me not... Let them know how you feel about them not letting me sing my songs.
Oh, God.
And so, of course, they doxed Scott Borchetta and Scooter Braun. And they had to shut down their office, I believe it was so bad, for a couple days.
Who are these Swifties? I don't know.
What is wrong with people? Honest to God, this is just so stupid. It seems to me that since... artists have all this direct conversation with their audience. I mean, Michael Jackson used to have to really work to groom his audience. Taylor Swift, though, does
world.
It. She can, he can do it on her platforms. And these people, they're like cults. They really are.
Well, they should really
she got an 8.0. Oh, my God.
They should really go after The Guardian, which gave it a 3 out of 5.
They probably will.
Hey, why don't we give it a 1 out of 5 and just see if they come after us and get some attention for the podcast?
Honestly, it doesn't sound like it's very much fun when these people go after you. And Carl experienced this at WATP because he attacks.
Oh, that's right.
He goes after shows.
The thing is, they'll give you a shitty review. And
well, they went. They got into his family, his wife, his business, his partner. I mean, all these things. And eventually, Carl was trying to. Carl was playing pretty tough there for a while, and then I think he eventually caved and said, okay, I just got to get this over with. And
that sucks.
I think they had to take a showdown or something like that.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. No, it's crazy. But when you have the mob going after you, I tell you, the mob is a crazy thing these days, and I'll just go off for a second on this, but I read the story about the...
By the way, so Pitchfork's review ended up dropping Taylor Swift's album from... a 90 to 89 on the aggregator Music Critic or Metacritic.
Oh, no.
So because it lowered it from the 90s to the 80s, that's like a man.
Who fucking cares?
Nice.
Why would that matter to Taylor Swift?
I guess say that must just be a nice life if that's the kind of thing you can get mad over.
It's really pathetic. Anyway, you know, speaking of the mob, this story about the blue Jeep in Colorado that, you know, this blue Jeep that everyone was so angry about because it drove through the mob or drove through the protest. The peaceful protesters were interrupted by this blue Jeep. Well, I read a long story about this Friday or Saturday, and it turns out, no. That's not at all what happened. They did not have, apparently this march either didn't have the proper permit or the permit wasn't carried through because this blue Jeep should never have been able to get
what
on the
happened?
road it was on, but there was no, the barricade wasn't put up. So it got on this road, and it was attacked quickly by people, I guess, throwing shit at them and banging on the windows. And so these people were immediately scared. They start driving on the highway like, we got to get the fuck out of here. She was trying to take somebody to an airport, I think.
Yeah, they said they got lost.
And then out of nowhere comes a white, I think it was a white van or an SUV. And the white van is so furious that how dare they drive towards this protest or around this protest, intentionally drives into the blue Jeep. So the blue Jeep is still absolutely, you know, now they're like, what the fuck is going on? And that's when they came on the larger group who then proceeded to throw shit at them. 7 gunshots. Mm-hmm. Not just, there was one that hit someone and one that grazed another person. Somebody had to go to the hospital with a gunshot. But this is just another bullshit story because, honestly, I saw this story and I got a lot of comments the next day. And
investigators are still wondering how they did get on the highway. I know he said he turned and it wasn't barricaded, but there tends to be some disagreement there.
Well, what is not in disagreement is that they were trying to get to the airport. Yeah, they were not trying to drive through a protest.
Right.
It was, and these people, it was actually the passenger in the car that was telling the story that we didn't do anything wrong. And, of course, once they came upon this angry crowd who were throwing things at them, yeah, they wanted to get the fuck out of there. They didn't want to be part of this. And this is a story that has occurred with so many vehicles who have somehow ended up driving up on a protest. And why it always gets reported that, oh my, these people drove through the protest. And you'll read these stories about, you know, people trying to take out protesters and this and that. And no, it's people just driving up on them, and they get descended on by the mob, and the mob starts banging the windows or breaking the windows, and they flip out, and they drive off, and then it's their fucking fault.
But there have been cars that have driven into protests, about 66 of them.
66 cars have driven into protests?
I'll find a story for you.
I mean, are these all people that literally drove through the protest?
I'll find a story for you.
I hear much. I mean, virtually every story I've seen to this effect has been a car that I think came on upon a protest and absolutely was flipped out by what happened because the crowd is so aggressive.
It's a USA Today report between May 27th and July 6th. 59 civilians rammed into protest. 24 of those cases resulted in charges. 7 attacks came from police. So let's say 24 then were.
Oh, the police just drove through a protest.
Well, no, I'm just saying, let's say 24 out of the 66 then were, you know.
Was that include the gray-haired lady from Taylor that was be on the lookout for the Impala, that lady who they said drove through the protest when she didn't? She just got a window.
I didn't do the research.
Honest to God, I've seen so many of them where they say the person did this, oh my God, this aggressive car, and then you see this mob around the car pounding on windows and throwing shit at them. Police cars, too. The one in Detroit where they broke the back window.
Move your ass!
And he drove off. And people jump on the car, and then they blame it on the driver. And it's like, what a pile of bullshit. But anyway, yeah, that was the passenger. And, there were also police that were run over. There were people who drove over police. I mean, literally. One in Buffalo where they ran over two cops. Just, I mean, like 40 miles an hour. I do remember the one guy that got run over on the highway, but it was not an anti-protest person. It was just somebody. Remember that guy? He was in a Jaguar or something?
On the highway?
Seattle, I believe. He was on a highway that the protesters were on.
I don't remember.
And he was in the far right lane, and he went over to the next lane, and there was someone still on the road, and he hit him, and they went flying. Yeah, and originally they said it was a anti-BLM person, and it turned out it was a guy who was not supposed to be on the highway because of the protest, and he didn't know or something. I don't know.
Yikes.
But, back to entertainment for just a second. I was so excited to see that Tekashi 6ix9ine's house arrest is over.
He's done. He's free.
So
he's recording a new video, too.
I watched it. He and his entourage and his security because, I mean, it's so dangerous to be Tekashi, even though he's the one with the guns. He's the one that assaults people. He's the one that robs, performs armed robberies and assaults young girls. He, of course, needs all the security.
Yeah.
Well, to tell you the truth, I do see him getting popped off. I really do. He is so hated, and he is
nobody's done a thing to him.
Who don't like getting tattled on.
He's so recognizable, too.
Yeah, you can't hide that big 6ix9ine on your forehead, you dipshit. I honestly think he needs bodyguards, otherwise someone will kill him.
Well, he's got a lot of them, but it's just funny to me that he has aggressively done so many things to so many people and then has bodyguards. In fact, there were cases where people tried to go after him, and his bodyguards always just save his ass. I mean, I think it was when he was just trying to get in fights for whatever, you know, because that's good for record sales. To fight people for no reason. Anyway.
Great.
So there's a whole big group of them milling around. No distancing. No masks. They're shooting a video in Brooklyn. There's a couple Lambos, a Mercedes, a Chargers, which are all his, I understand.
Cool.
And nobody seems to give a shit about coronavirus, but I thought he had asthma. Really bad asthma. And he had to be let out of prison early because of COVID. Remember that?
Yeah, he's high risk.
What happened to that asthma? Because he's not wearing a mask, and there are people all over the place.
Maybe he'll get it. What if he gets it?
Well, why did he? So it seems that he only cares, though, when he's in prison. When he's out in public, then he doesn't worry about it.
Guys, you're missing the biggest part. You're burying the lead. And that is that he also released this great song called Punani.
Oh, my God. You trying to make the world dumber?
Does this have a billion streams yet?
That's the video. Look at that. Oh, that's a cool looking car.
Doing donuts.
Got into it now.
Oh, looks like a race car. I better quit.
I'm going to burn up the rubber with my Lamborghini.
I want to hear the stupid song. People flipping the bird. Oh, that's so cool.
It's just the same thing over and over and again. What?
I know how to quit you.
What?
Oh, he said something rhyme with big, big dicka.
I hope Pitchfork gives us a higher rating than Taylor Swift's album.
Brandon, how many streams?
Let me click on YouTube alone. YouTube alone has 1.5 million. It was just released today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Today. So you got 1.5 million. Yeah.
There's one guy with a mask. One guy had a mask on.
He had no mask.
No, none
of the 7:30 when they took this picture.
Well, no, this whole video is recent, and no one has a mask on.
No, yeah.
Man, those,
that
those
poor guy with
sweet.
His asthma. I mean, why do these judges get schnookered by jackasses like this?
They have money and good lawyers.
Why are you breathing so hard?
Very tiring. Oh, I mean, Wilford Brimley, the breaking news was
that dude's dying ASAP.
The breaking news was that he was alive on Saturday. Not that he died on Saturday night, but that he was alive on Saturday. And also that he was only 85 when he died. People thought he was like 110.
I thought he was way older than that.
I thought he was. I really did.
Oh, man. Did he really have diabetes?
That's funny.
Isn't he the original Miss...
He was one of the first spokespeople for diabetes, and he called it diabetes, didn't he?
Yeah.
Can we hear his diabetes?
I'll look.
Hopefully, that's been saved, and
also
maybe
quaker,
they can bring it out of the mothballs. It was so effective. Nobody gets diabetes anymore.
No, they get Wait, how's he pronounce it?
Diabetes. Diabetes. Quaker Oats, too, of course.
Diabetes.
Oh my God. Did she say diabetes?
If you have,
he was a good spokesman though. We also
diabetes and are on Medicare, you may qualify for a free meter from Liberty Medical. You know, there are still some people who don't know that the cost of their diabetes testing supplies may be covered by Medicare.
I think you mispronounced it on purpose.
Well, if you have diabetes and you're on Medicare,
at least he always mispronounces it.
Hi, I'm Wilford Brimley, and I have diabetes. It hurts me to pee, and it causes me to be short with my family. I can't sleep at night. The other day, I stubbed my toe and took it out on the dog. And 2 weeks ago, I ran out of vanilla ice cream and struck my wife. And then I find out my wife's been dead for 6 years. Who the hell did I hit?
This message brought to you by the National Diabetes Association.
He was in the Waltons. I never liked the Waltons, by the way.
No.
Or
no,
Little House on the Prairie. No electricity. I didn't know why I didn't like them, but now I know. It was because there was no electricity.
Who watched those?
I don't know. Lots of people did. Of course, you only had three choices then. He's in The Natural, Cocoon, The Thing, and I was reading his bio.
He's
and
in The
like,
Natural? Who's he in The Natural?
I don't know. Was he a coach or an owner? I bet he's an owner. Anyway, it said that he's known for playing grandfatherly roles, many of them in the 1980s. I'm like, the 1980s? He was in his 40s. Why was he playing grandfatherly roles in the 80s?
Was he
played Pop Fisher in The Natural.
Was he in Walker, Texas Ranger?
Yes, he was in some episodes.
So is that him in the scene with Haley Joel Osment, the greatest scene
yes.
in television history?
Let me see.
Yes.
I got to find it. Hang on.
I'm geeked. Okay, hang on.
I can tell you the gist of it is...
Walker told me I have AIDS.
Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. All geeked because the community, customers, and the Zot team are back at full strength. And they've got all the social distancing, all the masking, all the being careful, all the safety stuff. In fact, if you don't want to go into a dealership or a business, they will deliver the car to you. They've got their drive forward event at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram right now. They've got 2020 Ram Quad Cab Big Horns for only $188 a month. Jeeps, 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at $155 a month. Then there's always a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month and the Wrangler. Right now, get a Zot employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing, and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, go to dealsnadee.com. Check out all the great deals from Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram. Can I get everybody in today?
There's, there he is, Wilford.
It's okay, Aunt Alex. I'm a man now.
Oh, thank you.
That reservation still standing?
Barely.
And how you doing, little partner?
Fine. And it's little visitor now. Adewoyoli's how you say it in Cherokee.
Oh, well, pardon my French, but I'll be damned.
Walker told me I have AIDS.
Awkward.
Is that not the greatest scene? And there's this scene, too. The big birthday party.
I think Haley Joel Osment is like 40 there. I really do.
Yeah. Give me what time do you have?
2:15.
Waiting for the birthday party to start.
Reckon those kids are going to show up, Alex?
Did anybody watch this show either?
Yes.
Apparently. It's not a long time.
We did have Chuck Norris. There's the AIDS-riddled Haley Joel Osment. Where's the party scene? Hang on.
Awkward.
We get to the party
scene. Playing on the streets of Philadelphia. Hey, there's got AIDS now.
He wasn't coming to your party today because we were concerned about Luke.
You think he got it from a gay relationship?
Hell about him having AIDS, mixing with our kids. Then that's when the kids themselves here got into it and kind of set us straight. And, you know, we didn't feel like a bunch of fools for being so ignorant about this.
We told Dad, you can't get AIDS by being friends with somebody.
That's beautiful.
Hey, Lucas, let's go play.
You're not going to get AIDS.
Come on in.
Let's have a game of tackle football.
Great work.
You think he got it from a gay relationship?
By Wilford Brimley there.
Nice. Let me go slide in the concrete.
Nice of Walker, Texas Ranger to teach us all about AIDS.
On the streets of Walker, Texas Ranger. Hey, this guy got AIDS.
So weird.
Joel Osment has AIDS.
Aw.
Okay. So, speaking of people having things, Lena Dunham, it turns out, had COVID. And
fake.
She had the worst COVID I've ever heard about. She said that.
Did you believe it?
I don't know. I mean, we can only go by the empirical data she provides. She said her feet were burning all the time. That's a new symptom. I've never heard of anyone having it that bad.
That actually is a symptom, but it's a very rare one. Yeah.
Okay. Her hands were completely numb.
That's
she couldn't feel
one.
Her hands.
That's a totally new one.
Now, I don't want to get too graphic, but she's got clear water coming out of her butt.
She couldn't take loud noises. They made her crazy.
I think she's on the spectrum.
Also, she said she couldn't sleep, and she also couldn't wake up. So I don't know what that means. If you can't sleep and you can't wake up, then what are you doing? You're either asleep or awake all the time.
You're in the Dunham zone. You're just zoned out, I guess.
I mean, you can't sleep and you can't wake up.
She said she hadn't gone number 2 in 10 days, but today was D-Day.
If you can't sleep, you're always up. If you can't wake up, that means you're asleep and you can't ever wake up.
Or you're just making it up.
Yeah, I was kind of taken aback by those.
Don't feel good.
That's just what a great writer she is, Drew.
Could be.
You know, she's a writer first.
Oh, boy.
She lost my sense of taste and smell, a hacking cough, like a metronome keeping time.
Oh, God.
Inability to breathe after simple tasks like getting a glass of water. Random red rashes, a pounding headache right between my eyes. It felt like I was a complex machine that had been unplugged and that my wires rerouted to the wrong inputs. It's very Mitch Albom.
It's very powerful.
This went on for 21 days that blended together like a rave gone wrong.
What?
I don't know.
I don't think a rave gone wrong would be that bad.
Let's see. After a month of this, she tested negative. But she's still lingering symptoms of the virus, including arthritis, swollen hands and feet, and a constant migraine. That just might be her, though.
Wait, she never tested positive?
Listen, well,
because her symptoms don't sound like COVID.
She doesn't say that she did. Even as a chronically ill person, I had never felt this way, she wrote.
What do you mean chronically ill? What is she, 30?
Hypochondriac, maybe?
Wait, how old is she? Isn't she like in her early 30s, 20s, late 20s? How could she have chronic illness?
Because she has the internet and she probably looks things up and decides that she self-diagnoses.
She's 34.
To be clear, I did not have, she wrote not in all caps, I did not have these particular issues before I got sick with this virus, and doctors don't yet know enough to tell me why exactly my body responded this way or what my recovery will look like.
You need to get up off your fat ass and lose some of that goddamn weight.
Well, what are these chronic illnesses, plural? I mean, she acted like she has like a dozen chronic illnesses.
I don't know. Has she, Brandon, can you just search? Has she tested?
Well, I know that she has obsessive compulsive disorder. That's, and because of that, she takes a bunch of, like she takes Klonopin and stuff like that.
Chronic. That's something you call chronic illness. That's a condition, isn't it?
Mental, isn't that a?
Yeah, I would think.
She also had crushing fatigue, which maybe I have it then.
I don't see anything. She says she has, I don't know how to pronounce this word.
Bad choice in tattoos.
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
What is it?
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I guess it's where you can pull your skin like Stretch Armstrong.
What?
It's the core.
Oh, you mean she's like the Fantastic Four member who could just
all the research I can possibly do.
You know what you take when you have that?
Acetaminophen.
She could be the
chlorpheniramine.
Couldn't she be the female Stretch in the Fantastic Four if her?
You mean Mrs. Fantastic?
Like yeah, Mrs. Fantastic Four.
Stretch!
Hey, did you guys look up Malcolm McDonald, the guy growing a penis on his arm?
Stretch!
No!
You hear about him?
No!
He, oh God, the story's terrible. He had an infection in, you didn't read Brandon's Prep.
I read Brandon's Prep because I read the whole Bryan Singer story, which is insane.
So this dude's from London. Oh yeah, no! Oh my God, at some point we have to get into the Bryan Singer. So just for the fact of Michael Jackson,
did you look up Malcolm McDonald, Brandon?
Well, I'm not very good at. I always strike out on the British phone numbers.
Oh,
penis looks great.
Well, he had an infection in his perineum, as he put it. He didn't want people to know it was his taint.
Let's see your penis.
And for some reason, this is really weird. His fingers, toes, and penis turned black.
Taint.
Well, just his luck, it goes that way and not the other way to ruin his anus.
What's up with that? So anyway, his penis dropped off on the floor, he said. It literally dropped on the floor.
What?
In 2014. His penis dropped off. His testicles were intact.
Where's my dick? Where's my dick?
How did he get to the point where your penis falls off?
I don't know. I would think he would have gone to the doctor
weeks before, yeah.
I think the doctors would have severed it before he just let it drop off. But it sounded like he went on a drinking binge, like he was so upset about his wiener that he just became an alcoholic.
Oh, I would.
Understand.
And then one day when he was not as drunk as usual, he learned about this bionic penis doctor and went to this guy who apparently takes tissue and grows it in your arm. So he's growing a penis. It's sort of like in his forearm.
Cool.
Yeah, the that's penis what, skin, and then they transfer. What Mr. Garrison did with that mouse. There was the rat. There was the rat that was growing the penis, and it was running there chasing it around, stuff like that. Yeah, very, very great South Park episode.
Does it have sensitivity?
Can create dongers off excess skin, I guess.
Ugh.
And I guess he got, what, two extra inches?
That's what he said.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we should all do that then.
What I'm most proud of is my penis.
He said it started growing in his arm. He's like, I couldn't leave it alone.
Well, yeah, it's a penis. Like, and you're a guy.
But the coronavirus is delaying the transfer, so he's really frustrated. Because 4 years his penis has been growing in his arm. He's been nurturing his penis and
fisting women.
Watching it grow.
What? Who said that? Gross.
Cut his penis off!
To no avail. But I guess once COVID is...
I don't think he's in any hurry. I don't think this guy's in a hurry for a lot of
things. He's got two kids already, so he's used his penis before.
Did you hear what his date said?
No.
I'm not about to eat arm
penis.
I think I could do it better than that. Messes with his kids. He just starts wiggling his arm and going.
I'm not about to eat arm penis.
I almost got it.
Ridiculous.
Let's try it again. Hang on. Think I can do it? I don't think I can do it.
I'm not about to eat arm penis.
Ah, he got the T in there. Damn it.
So, the Ghislaine documents, some of them were unveiled.
Yeah, yeah. How much, none of this seems terribly new. Although, it did occupy a lot of Alan Dershowitz's time, which is great in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Because he just went on a rampage.
He is... I'm surprised that he is allowed to do this. He attacks the victim, Virginia Roberts, who is the biggest victim of almost anyone in the Epstein world. She traveled. I mean, there's pictures of her with her arm around Prince Andrew in London.
That was in
there's pictures
hand.
Of her on a cruise ship. There's pictures of her in New Mexico. There's pictures of her, pictures of her on Orgy Island, Little St. James. So we know she was trafficked. Mm-hmm. And yet Alan Dershowitz is constantly saying, I'm proving she's a liar. I will prove she's a liar. She's a compulsive liar. I mean, he's constantly putting her down.
You know how you know he's lying, too? Because he's like, I'm glad all this stuff came out. It proves that I'm innocent because there's emails where she said she didn't know me and blah, 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 blah.
Well, what happens is...
I'm sure you're really glad this came out.
She is not extremely specific on dates, necessarily.
Yeah,
like a lot of 16 and 17-year-olds who are being sexually trafficked might not remember exact dates.
Especially, didn't she claim she was drugged, too? Or am I thinking of a different accuser?
I'm not sure. You know, this sounds right, but...
I thought I read that today.
Don't recall.
But he has this one line, too, where he's talking about, the time has come for a full-scale investigation of Jeffrey's credibility.
Yeah, the victim. A full investigation of the victim. This is from the guy who got the Hall of Fame sex trafficker off on a one-year deal and got full immunity for everyone else in his orbit. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he so aggressively wants to go after the victim. Why is he allowed to do this?
This is Twitter, freedom of speech, I suppose.
But no one seems to object to it.
I wonder if she could ever sue him for defamation.
She did.
Oh, well, that's what this whole thing is about, really, isn't it?
I think he sued her first, though.
Yeah, He also blames the media for declining to conduct the kind of investigative reporting that is rightfully done with regard to other accusers.
Oh, come on. We know what happened to this girl.
Yeah.
She may have some details wrong, but she's not someone who needs to be attacked.
Well, to that point, the judges seem to don't mind her accusations. They're going forward with it.
Well, Alan Dershowitz, okay, first of all, he admitted that he got a massage from some Russian masseuse.
But he left his
gross undies on. Know that he's at least somewhat amenable to this sort of thing. She claims that she had sex with Alan Dershowitz.
I see him always underways.
Yeah.
She
and Bill Richardson.
And Prince Andrew. And she said Bill Clinton was on Little St. James, Orgy Island. And that, by the way, I'm amazed this stuff stayed sealed for 9 years. How did this stuff stay sealed?
I don't know.
What is so special about Alan Dershowitz and, Bill Clinton? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't it kind of fucking amazing?
It really
Marvin
is,
Minsky. Yeah.
So anyway, she
Marvin,
said
that poor Marvin Minsky.
Bill Clinton was on Orgy Island, and he was kind of flirty, playful with two girls from New York.
That doesn't sound like Bill Clinton at
all. No, not at all. They were on either side of him at dinner, and then he walked off into the night with these two girls. And Hillary,
I was really just having a little fun.
He was Hillary free, as she pointed out.
I'm Hillary free. He probably had a shirt on that said Hillary Free. Walking around in that, like board shorts and flip flops. Hillary Free, that's my. She said she was surprised to see him there and asked Jeffrey, what's Bill Clinton doing here? And he laughed it off and said, well, he owes me a favor.
Why is it a favor for him to come and bang a couple of his hot models?
Yeah, it'd be like you owe him a favor.
Now, the other thing that nobody was talking about in this story today was, if you remember, the guy, he was like the caretaker of Orgy Island.
Yeah.
Steve Scully. He said he saw Clinton there.
Yeah.
So that's two people now. I don't know what they're going to do to Bill Clinton in this whole thing, or if it really matters.
Dershowitz protected him by saying, Secret Service has already proven that he wasn't there, which is that whole four times
on
the flight manifest.
You cannot prove that. When she doesn't know exactly when, and neither does Steve Scully, the caretaker. Dershowitz is just uses the law to make the truth he wants, essentially, is what he does.
A lot of lawyers do that, but he's really good at it.
I just don't know why he is allowed to attack this girl so viciously. I mean, viciously. And some of the things he says about her, you know, a compulsive liar, and it's, you know, I've proven this and I've proven that. You cannot prove that you never had sex with this girl. I'm sorry. We don't have a videotape of you every hour of every day, but he claims he has an itinerary that shows exactly where he is at all times, and he was never in the same place with her.
Yeah. Well, he can't prove that he didn't either.
No, he can't.
Proving a negative. So let's see what else came out in these releases that.
Well, Al Gore was on the Lolita Express, according to her, as was Naomi Campbell and Heidi Klum.
Virginia Jeffrey was asked in a deposition if she was aware of, quote, any distinguishing physical features on Ghislaine Maxwell, and she replied, I can tell you that she had very large natural breasts. And then she added, I can tell you that her pubic hair was dark brown, nearly black. I don't remember. Oh, come on, I could have told you that.
Bush!
She doesn't remember any specific birthmarks or moles that I could point out that would be relevant.
Well, I think she'd have to haul out her big titties in court.
Exhibit A. Yep,
those
and
are
B.
Big tits. Exhibit, you're right about that.
Exhibit A and. one, thank you, Brand. Given the alleged documents, the pair. Okay, yeah, we knew all that. It's hard to find stuff we don't know about it. Oh, here's this is the part that made me laugh. What instructions were you given to, about what women to look for? This is when she was procuring girls for them.
Yeah,
she said, young, pretty, you know, a fun personality. They couldn't be black.
Really?
Cancel Jeffrey Epstein.
For being racist.
Has he been canceled yet? I don't think so.
If they were any other descent other than white, they had to be exotically beautiful. That was about it. Jeez. Yeah, they're all canceled for racism.
Jeez. She also said that Ghislaine Maxwell had orgies with chicks all the time. All over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And young girls, too. She liked beautiful women.
He had a secret sex room in his Palm Beach mansion. I don't know if that's a surprise. Had sex toys, pornographic art. Epstein was there waiting for her, naked on a massage table. I was so afraid, thinking about upsetting and disappointing them. I don't know. It was a weird situation by far. And I was expected to lick his nipples.
That's what she's not the only one who said he was really into nipple play.
It's weird. At the end, I was told
Jackson liked nipple play, too, remember?
He did?
Yeah, Jackson liked having his nipples played with. So Jackson and Epstein should have gotten it all.
He's in a pod.
That just sounds weird. If a woman said it, it'd be really exciting. But when a guy said,
I know.
Oh, yeah, I'm really into nipple play. My nipple's not yours. Mine.
Louis C.K. had a great line about that. He goes, you might as well just be licking my wallet. Nothing physically. Just licking my wallet.
My nipples are very sensitive.
I never understood Mr. Big Muscle Guy talking about his nipples, too.
No!
Why was he into his nipples so much?
Huge nipples, man.
Are we lacking sensitivity in our nipples or something over here?
I mean, do chicks dig that?
Yes, sir.
Are chicks into big nipples like guys are?
Worshiping this big motherfucker, man.
Hoo-ah.
Did you read the Brian Singer article at all?
I read some of it, yes, about Michael Jackson wanting to be in, what was the movie?
X-Men.
He wanted to be
Michael Jackson. Yes, the Michael Jackson, the king of pop. He wanted to be Professor X in the X-Men, which ultimately went to Patrick Stewart. Could you imagine Michael Jackson in that chair? Now, everybody...
I'm going to use
but he just
powers.
Shows up to talk to Brian Singer, and Brian Singer's like, what are you fucking talking about? He has a video of himself in whiteface.
No, I think Singer was all for it, and so it's basically the preface.
Wasn't Jackson made up in whiteface and made up to be a 60-year-old white man?
Yeah.
Well, I think he said that he would wear makeup for the role.
I can't find the article now, man.
I'll just bleach my skin until it's white. Ooh. I'm not doing it anyway.
But the other producer.
In the spring of 99, Brian Singer and a group of X-Men producers and crew are working at the old Fox offices.
Hi, Brian.
When Michael Jackson walks in the door, he's wearing sunglasses and he refused to shake everybody's hand. And Michael Jackson was visiting the industrial space to meet with Singer to discuss the prospect of playing Professor Xavier in the upcoming film.
Professor Xavier.
I said, you know, Xavier is an older white guy, right?
And I wear makeup.
Said, yeah, but you know, I can wear makeup.
And, I have a video of me as a 60-year-old man.
I know you made him watch this video of him. But the whole point of that
story. See, I look 60 and I'm white.
Is that the one producer's like, oh yeah, Brian Singer used to bring in these people all the time that had nothing to do with the production. And we all just kind of ignored it. And the rest of the story, for those that don't know, Brian Singer a lot of accusations about him raping boys. He's gay.
Yeah.
You know, sexual harassment, that kind of thing. So then it makes me wonder.
He worked on a lot of movies, too. He kept working after those accusations came out. And then more came out.
Yeah.
He's got to be canceled by now, isn't he? I mean, the stories were really bad.
Didn't they remove him from the Queen movie?
Yeah, he had worked on the Queen movie.
But I wondered, did he have something going on with Jackson? Where they traded off boys or something?
Oh, wow, that makes sense.
That's the only reason I can think that this story was in there.
Do you like them when they're older than 12? Because I have a few I could sit your way.
I don't know, Michael. What do you do with their buttholes?
I just stare at them.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was the lawsuit about the movie Apt Pupil, where he had the two boys, one 14, one 17, get nude, and he filmed them. This was before X-Men was even filmed.
That's a crazy movie.
The writer for that movie was his assistant, who was answering phones in the production office for $500 a week. So they had just this revolving door of writers. And I don't know. This story's really wild. Let's see what other sexual things is in here. At the time, he was dating Adam Robitel. He casted him, who was then an undergrad at USC in a cameo role. But a number of young men, including some who were minors at the time, had claimed in published interviews that Singer dangled X-Men auditions and roles in exchange for sex. One on-set source disputed the idea that the Robitel casting was anything but professional, noting that the two had been dating for 3 years at that point. Then they talk about this Alex Burton guy. He's 18 years old. He played the role of Pyro in the movie. No one remembers how this guy, who had no previous credits, was even cast. One source says that Burton told him that Mark and Brian created that role for me. Another source says that Burton was flown up to the Toronto set from L.A., an unheard-of move given the size of his role because he was basically an extra with no lines. 8 days after X-Men's Ellis Island premiere on July 12, 2000, Burton filed a civil suit against three of Singer's friends and business associates, claiming that he had been plied with drugs, sexually assaulted by three guys, held against his will, threatened physical harm, all while they were filming the movie. Never acted in anything again. Pyro's role went to somebody else in the future. I mean, this guy, Bryan Singer, basically used X-Men to nail dudes and young boys.
Yeah, and they sounded like they passed him around. It sounded like he had pool parties that were sort of like the Rock Hudson pool parties, except it was lots of little boys, like 14-year-olds in the pool.
So weird. That guy, by the way, was awarded $6 million. $6 million. They never paid him, so the judge added another $4.8 million on top of it.
Wow, that's interest. A good
role. Bryan Singer conceded that he was taking back medication at the time.
Maybe want little boys. It was the weirdest thing.
Others on set characterized his drug use as problematic, leading to late arrivals on the set, mood swings, and explosive tantrums. Some of the characters, like Rebecca Romijn, Stamos' Mystique, required hours of body painting before filming. On a whim, Bryan Singer would decide, I'm not going to use her in this scene. So she was sitting all that
makeup. That's a problem. A guy that's into, like, 14-year-old boys, and he's got a huge drug problem, and he's directing your movie.
Yeah. Well, into the drug problem, so apparently his behavior grew erratic and destructive, culminating in a fight between the director and one of the producers who wanted to shut down production. He attempted to halt shooting, this is the producer, when he learned that Bryan Singer was incapacitated after taking a narcotic, which probably means, you know, a bunch of narcotics. Some crew members had taken the same drug. What a wild set. And the producer being fearful that someone on the set could be injured. All of the main cast, with the exception of Ian McKellen, were on scene that day, which takes place in the X-Jet, comes near the end of the movie. But Singer was defiant and continued shooting, leading to a botched stunt that left Hugh Jackman bleeding on camera.
Ooh.
So then there was a big fight between the studio and this producer, and the studio, of course, sided with Bryan Singer because they want their movie to be done. That prompted the main cast members, including Halle Berry, all dressed in their full X-Men costumes, to go to Bryan Singer's trailer and confront him and threaten to quit if the producer left. And that's when Halle Berry famously said to Singer, "You can kiss my black ass," a line that's been often reported in the years since. Isn't that crazy? Meanwhile, the movie was huge. Mm-hmm. Spawned a bunch of sequels. So it was like the first big continuous comic book franchise. I don't know. It's a crazy story. What was that? Where was that article from, Brandon, that you sent?
Well, there was one that's from BuzzFeed. But the one in particular that I sent was from The Hollywood Reporter.
It was a good article. It's pretty sickening.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody sent me some. He says, any suspicious activities in your social number? So before we go ahead and suspend it, kind of calls back.
Wait, what happened?
Somebody.
A brand new one?
Did you get these, Brandon, from Oregon?
Uh-oh.
No.
Okay. Let's just try this. I just noticed this. Any suspicious activities on your social number? Before we go ahead and suspend it, kindly call us back on a number, which is...
Did you just get this? Yeah, I thought you were sick of do-do-do numbers.
257. Well, some of these work.
You'd probably just say it out loud.
I know. It probably won't work.
Meanwhile, Brandon's chowing dinner. I just heard your fork hit your plate.
Nuh-uh.
What are you... Nuh-uh. Is your mouth full? What are you eating?
What's on the plate tonight? If you can...
It's like some gnocchi.
Figure it out.
I don't know. There's a bunch of chicken stuff.
I don't
know. Sausage stuff.
Distrust a phone number is not in service.
Oh, fuck.
If you believe that you...
Trusted phone number?
Please hang up and try it.
What?
What is that?
Well, I don't know.
It's a 541, right?
Yeah.
And then 257.
Yeah.
Sorry. Distrust a phone number is not...
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know what that meant.
Walls. Did you watch your Go-Go's documentary?
I did.
Did you like it?
I did. Did you guys watch it? Anybody?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I kind of wanted it to be longer or have more meat to it, though, is the only bummer. I find it interesting that I feel like the Go-Go's are more attractive now than they were then.
When I was a kid, I used to really like Jane.
Weedlin?
Oh.
Yeah.
I think she
was in Bill
girls,
and Ted's Excellent Adventure. She was Joan of Arc, and so...
You know, she was cuter with longer hair, wasn't she? Did you notice the old picture of her with long hair?
Yeah, she might be the only one that was cuter then. I think Belinda Carlisle looks better now.
Well, Belinda Carlisle goes
the
back
and forth. The
drummer
looked really good then.
Yeah, the drummer's chunked out a little bit.
Yeah.
But
okay, maybe I'm just thinking of Charlotte.
Charlotte Caffey?
Yeah. She looks good.
Yeah, she
now
looked pretty good. She did.
Oh, she's clean off of heroin.
Yeah.
See, I wanted to hear so much more about the heroin
Charlotte
with her.
You know, that was kind of, that was an interesting story because for one thing, it shows that women are not that different from guys when it comes to being a successful band.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, at some point, whoever's writing the songs or singing the songs, realizes that they are more critical to the operation. And therefore, instead of sharing it five ways,
mm-hmm,
maybe, you know, Belinda Carlisle went on her own and Charlotte Caffey went with her because she wrote the songs and Belinda sang the songs. And Belinda's really,
well,
she's the hottest.
Weedlin had already left. Cause Weedlin,
yeah, Weedlin left because she was pissed. She wanted to sing one song on the album. By the way, I forgot about the song Head Over Heels. That's a,
oh,
that's a cool song.
A cool
I like that
song, yeah. And that, wait, is that Belinda, what is that her big hit solo?
Mad About You.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, that was a huge hit. I remember playing that on 1240 WROV.
Really?
Yes, we did. It was a big song. It was on for a while.
I didn't realize how punk they were in the beginning.
Well, that's the best part. I think that's the most interesting thing. And I read Belinda Carlisle's book, so I kind of knew that Belinda Carlisle, I always thought of her as this really, like, cheerleader type, you know, who was so, she just seemed very demure.
Mm.
And, you know, the way she dances. She definitely has that 80s dance down, doesn't she?
Yeah. Well, she said that, too, that they were basically...
punk band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when they started writing pop songs, they posed her as the cheerleader.
Which she was not. She was nothing like that. And in fact, all of them lived in really dingy places.
The only one who didn't was the one that got the really bad heroin addiction, Charlotte Caffey.
Yeah. I mean, they lived in pretty scuzzy places. They played in horrible clubs that were playing punk and original music. And they were getting better. I mean, because they, you know, this is the first all-girl band to play their own instruments. They were getting better at it, but until... Was it Jane Weedlin that wrote Our Lips Are Sealed?
Well, the first one was We Got the Beat, wasn't it?
Wasn't that We Got the Beat.
No, it was Charlotte.
Yeah, that was Charlotte.
Charlotte wrote all of it.
And when they started, like, sort of fixing those songs into some final form, We Got the Beat and Our Lips Are Sealed sounded very poppy.
Yeah,
and it was like, hey, are we a punk band or are we a pop band? What's going on here? I mean, typical.
That's why their drummer left. First drummer left, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they were smart enough to know that, hey, if everyone likes our music instead of just a few people, is that really a bad thing?
Yeah.
Well, the bass player thought it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
The bass player couldn't handle it. It's like, we had a punk aesthetic. What's going on here? So they just basically told the manager, get rid of her, and we'll use this other chick.
She had some hard feelings about being let go, though.
yeah, she did.
Yeah, maybe that's how they're different than a guy band, because a guy band would be like, well, fuck you. She's like, I couldn't even see them.
Yeah.
I always liked this song. Good hook. Head of a heel, why should I go?
Can't stop myself out of control. Head of a heel. They were hard-ass chicks.
Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together.
Yeah, I thought their hits were great. I mean, they had a lot of great songs. They really did. They had something worked for that man. Hard to explain because I don't know. Just the way it all sort of came together, it just worked. And when you took one person or two people away from it, it just wasn't the same.
Well, they admitted too. There's a lot of luck involved.
Yeah.
And it really took opening for the Police, and that guy who had IRS
Miles
record.
Copeland.
Yeah,
he just started that label.
And he saw what they could be and told them to slow down. That's what turned them into a pop band, slowing their punk songs down. That was good.
It was good advice.
Slow down.
It was pretty simple, but I just couldn't picture them as these dingy punkers, you know, playing punk rock. It just... If you just saw them as a band that had hit records at the time, which I did, I just saw them as like, oh, there's probably five cute girls from, you know, a couple different high schools around LA.
Yeah, the Valley.
They started playing, and their parents probably had some money and helped them get, you know, equipment. It was nothing like that. They were really hard scrabble, hard working girls.
Did you have the feeling that they did not like comparisons to the Runaways because we put ourselves together, not some Svengali.
Yeah, Kim Fowley put the Runaways together, including Joan Jett.
Look at who's in the Runaways. I mean, that's a good group of.
It was a good group.
Lita Ford. Forgetting the other big
what's names. Her name? Candy. The lead singer. What's her name?
Candy.
Cherry Bomb. Cherry. Cherry Curry. Cherry Curry. But Kim Fowley wrote all their songs. The Go-Go's wrote their own songs. The Go-Go's are the first and only all-female band that played their own instruments that had a number one album. The only one to this day, which is kind of... Really?
That's crazy. The Bengals never wrote their own songs?
The Bengals? Yeah, Bengals wrote some songs, although the Bengals had success with some covers, too. Manic Monday, Prince wrote. They did September Girls, big star song. They did a fair share of covers. Linda Ronstadt did a lot of covers.
Well,
Sheryl Crow writes her own songs.
The best Bengals cover. Hang on. You're going to know what it is. Hang on. Pretty sure this is a cover.
Oh. Wait. Bengals cover.
Balls.
Oh. The Simon and Garfunkel song?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is really good. That was kind of a hit, wasn't it?
I don't know. I always thought it was a cool song. Hazy Shade of Winter.
Yeah. I remember Simon and Garf's version.
Garf. No one called him Garf. You'd cry if you called them
Garf!
What movie? This isn't a movie, wasn't it?
The original was really good, too. I'm surprised people don't pluck more songs out of the 70s, 80s, 60s and cover them and just sort of make them sound modern. Change them up a little bit.
There's no bands anymore.
I know, that's true.
Ooh, Susanna Hoffs.
Yeah, Susanna Hoffs. She's still cute as hell, man.
Susanna Hoffs or Belinda Carlisle?
Who would you rather nail? I disqualify myself because I done them both.
Susanna, if you were to ask me, it would be
I think Susanna Hoffs would be more fun for some reason.
I would go with Gina Schock.
Really?
At the time, they were only together really during the early to mid 80s before they broke up. And I don't count any of that time that they, 2000 on when they do reunion tours and stuff. I think they had one album after that, but everybody remembers the album that came out in like 81, 82, and 84.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
What was
Gina? And at that time, I thought Gina Schock was the cutest one. She was the drummer.
She had a great band name too when she left, because Belinda left the band. The band
House
broke
of Schock.
House of Schock.
she wrote some songs. She wrote some songs for Miley, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Selena wrote Miley Gomez. Cyrus's some of her tunes, mm-hmm. including Breakout, which debuted at number one.
Bloop. Susanna Hoffs did a. Let's see, Susanna Hoffs, and what's the other guy's name?
Susanna First Hoffs. Stupid.
And
boyfriend Aubrey Hoffs.
Matthew Sweet.
Oh yeah,
they did a big covers project.
Yeah,
I think
like
we've already talked about it.
I love their song choices.
That
was her husband. I don't know why
she's married to Matthew Sweet.
Get out of here! I thought so.
Are you kidding me? I didn't know that.
I'm not.
No, he's married to Lisa Sweet.
Oh boy. Okay, I'm all over the map. Who's she married to? The guy from the zombies.
I told you it was Aubrey First Hoffs, right?
No, isn't she married to somebody famous?
She is married to Jay Roach.
That's right, the director. We've been through this like 50 times.
Okay, they're covers, and they're good. They're good covers. Matthew Sweet's a great musician. I See the Rainbow Marmalade, and Your Bird Can Sing, the Beatles. Why is it a popular cover song now? I don't know why, but it seems like a lot of people cover that. It's All Over Now, Baby Blue, Bob Dylan, Who Knows Where the Time Goes, Fairport Convention, Cinnamon Girl, yeah! Neil Young, Crazy Horse, Different Drums, Stone Ponies, Mike Nesmith wrote it, Kids Are All Right by The Who, Sunday Morning, Velvet Underground, Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere, Neil Young, Crazy Horse, Monday, Mamas and Papas.
That's a great song.
Left Bank, She May Call You Up Tonight. Boy, what, of all the Left Bank songs, they chose that? Bee Gees, Run to Me. And then, let's see, volumes 2 and 3.
Maybe I like the original better.
That song's really hard to improve on. Okay, let's see.
Sounds like a case of the Mondays.
Wait, they did All the Young Dudes?
Yeah.
Cool. Cool, man. Take on Me, Every Once in a Really World, Your Love. Your Love by The Outfield? Rock With You. Jump. That kind of sounds like Fleetwood Mac.
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you?
She's a good girl. Loves her mother.
His voice just sounds weird on him.
Yeah, what is that? Auto tune or something?
That is weird.
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
I think Tom Petty's really hard to cover. I don't know why. It seems like it's supposed to sound like Tom Petty and no one else. Wait, they covered We Built This City? Really?
Oh boy, maybe they're running out.
What do they do with the little radio part?
Here you go, full circle.
Sledgehammer. Closer to the Heart. Owner of a Lonely Heart. When You Were Mine by Prince. Ooh, that's a great song. Safety Dance. Really?
All right, I'll look for that one.
I don't think anyone can do Safety Dance like the Men Without Hats. Telling Lies. This seems so like such an obvious one.
I don't see the Safety Dance anywhere.
Except what will it sound like with Matthew Sweet? Nothing but chicks.
Might ruin it.
In the jealous games people play.
That's not bad.
It's okay. No, she's great.
Go-Go's are better.
They covered Every Night by McCartney, and he did a pretty good job on it. Bloop. Sorry. They did a Raspberry song, too, which I was go, maybe it was Go All the Way. So it's four albums of covers. They're pretty good. I mean, the music choice is good. Maybe they don't do them well, but the song choice is really good.
Well, that's kind of important that they do it well.
Yeah. Okay. I want to mention that the Boston Marathon bomber, for some reason, his death sentence overturned.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Why? Who cares?
Because they did not adequately screen jurors.
Bullshit.
Special biases.
They said, okay, the reason they said it was because.
I hate that anyway.
I know, I hate it. I totally hate it. You know how much money was spent on this case, on appealing it, and now it'll be re-spent on re-adjudicating the sentencing. I mean, it'll be millions of dollars.
You just leave them in there to rot.
And it was all over. One juror put Boston Strong on Facebook, like, as their thing.
That was one of them, yeah.
I mean, Boston Strong, everyone in Boston did that. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, I guess, mentioned that they were locked down during the manhunt for this guy, which is like, I felt like I was locked down because I couldn't stop watching TV.
Mm-hmm. That person
was a wild, that was a crazy day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just crazy. Because you knew he had executed a cop.
Yep.
They literally just walked up to a police car and shot a cop in the head and killed him. That was after the bombing. Did they blow up something else, too? Or they threw some bombs in somewhere?
Well, they had the whole battle on the road. And that's my favorite part of the whole story is when he ran over his own brother.
I know. That's beautiful.
Which is just great. He in essence, killed his brother by running over him.
Well, he should fall on the sword for that. He should kill himself. We shouldn't have to kill him.
Yeah. That one juror also retweeted a post where they called Tsarnaev a piece of garbage. So a retweet has got to claim bias.
Big fucking deal. It's a little tweet. I mean, who wants? You mean tell me really? We don't. This guy doesn't deserve to be put to death. The people he killed in the Boston Marathon, the limbs that were lost, the people, the long recoveries, then just executing a fucking cop. I mean, in was it Harvard? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
In Cambridge, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fucking dicks. And then they did. They had bombs with them. Weren't they letting off bombs in various places?
Throwing them out of the car is what I remember.
Yeah.
And then he was hiding in that boat.
And then I, for some reason, it's hard for me to forget the fact that, you know, they were deep into Islam, really fanatical Islam, and they hated Americans.
Yeah.
They fucking hated us.
Didn't Tamerlane had, didn't he allegedly kill somebody else beforehand too?
In a
drug deal gone bad, and
the
that
dead
was,
brother or the, this
yeah,
guy
the dead brother.
Yes, I believe he did. Yeah, I read that story, and you know, he completely radicalized his mother, his sisters. That fucking story was crazy.
Yeah,
because even after all this happened, they were like, oh no, neither one of them would do anything wrong. This is insane. They shouldn't be punished.
Remember the New York Post had the wrong people, too, they identified that next morning?
That's right.
Bad man.
Yeah, boy.
I always just think of the story of that little kid, the Martin kid, the 8-year-old kid that died there. Because, I mean, it was a horrendous, excruciating death for an 8-year-old kid. And, I don't know. I don't have any sympathy.
I just think anyone who thinks they can do that and get away with it and not be put to death should not think that.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody, you know, they slapped him on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
It was Jim Morrison.
Looked all hot.
Look at this hot bomber. Yeah, he was going for the Morrison look. You could tell.
Oh, I forgot they kidnapped a guy when they carjacked him too. Just reading that.
Yeah, and he got away, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he. Didn't he run across the street into a convenience store or something?
When they were getting gas, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't say that here, but
I think they were using his credit card, maybe. Mm. But yeah, he thought he was the guy for sure. He knew who they were.
Yeah, they forced him to use his ATM that for $800. Oof.
Well, they got nice maximums there.
That's true. That is a lot.
It seems like a lot to me.
Yeah. fuck that guy, man.
And I remember watching that on TV, and it was like, it went all into the night and into the next day, and then they found him hiding in that boat, and he'd been shot like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, he wrote, didn't he write a goodbye note in his own blood?
In blood, yeah.
Nice ruining that
I think
boat.
He wrote, you know, whatever, something in Islamic, too. Some stupid phrase.
Yeah, that guy kept the boat. Well, I bought the boat. I'll just clean it and put it out in the water tomorrow.
I think it had a couple bullet holes in it. No, I did it.
I don't think it did.
I don't think it did. I think they just lifted up the top. Oh, my God!
Yeah. Well, because he cut the top. That's how the guy noticed, because he had to cut the
winterized
cover or whatever it is they put over the boat.
Yeah, he's one of the super anal dudes.
Yeah, and so he noticed that it was super anal. Something is slightly out of place in my backyard.
Yeah, so he called the cops.
A bomber must be in there.
But it took them forever to find him.
I know.
He was in a small area, and they just could not find that guy.
That was a wild story.
That was a wild day on the air. I remember.
Shouldn't they blow him up?
Yes. I'm all for it.
Put it on pay-per-view?
I mean, don't ask me tomorrow. I could change my mind. But right now, I want to blow him up.
I want
pay-per-view. Absolutely. We'll do the pay-per-view charity. Raise money for all the Boston Strong people that were injured.
And make him build his own bomb. And hopefully he does it poorly enough where it doesn't kill him right away, maims him, so he has to build another one.
That'd be cool.
He has to keep building the bomb until he dies.
I like that idea.
Well, where's the star chamber?
The Twitter.
Ready for a bomb?
The Twitter hacker.
Oh, what a turd.
It ends up being a 17-year-old in his mom's basement. Getting into, Gates' account, Kanye's account, Bezos' account.
He got into he entered the back way of all of Twitter. And then I guess the way the story went, he got in, but he didn't know, like, what else to do.
Yeah.
And so then he got into, I don't know if you know what Slack is. Brandon, do you know what Slack is?
It's a
communication thing that companies will use where it's supposed to be encrypted and secure and only them, but you can trade, you know, it's kind of like email.
He got information from Twitter employees.
He got it
to help him get all the way in.
He infiltrated Twitter's Slack and got through the two-factor verification thing. It's unreal.
And amazingly, he offers $2,000 in Bitcoin for $1,000 in U.S. money. And $116,000 were put into the account. So there were like 116 people actually went, oh, my God, what a deal.
Morons.
I'm fucking 17.
But I mean,
it really shows how many stupid people are out there.
And a 22-year-old and a 19-year-old in the U.K. helped him, I guess. But
yeah, because he didn't know how to monetize. He didn't really understand he's like, I can get in there. I can do all this. How do I monetize this? And they helped him out on, I think it was a Twitch, not a Twitch board, but I forget where it was. But they helped him, like, hey, this is what you need to do. It's just crazy, man.
The platforms never cease to amaze me because their policy is basically, you know, don't go out of your way about anything. We'll just ask forgiveness and... And as more outrageous things happen, it doesn't seem like a big deal when they fail to have security or they fail to vet.
Sorry.
Or they bear no responsibility when things go south. They just go, oh, wow, this 17-year-old guy. Oh, my God, it's crazy.
Hey, but at least we're free of TikTok now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are we done with TikTok? Because I heard they offered to
sell it, right?
Yeah, to not have any people from China involved in it or something in our version.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
Well, the idea that I'm sure they probably are mining our data, but isn't Google mining our data? Isn't Facebook mining our data?
China's a little different, isn't it?
Sure. I just think everybody's mining everyone's data.
Probably so.
I mean, what? How much data do you want from a 16-year-old that's lip-syncing?
Well, it depends. I mean, is that the only thing that goes back to those servers or
no,
the videos
does,
that you post?
TikTok does seem to be pretty shady, pretty bad.
Because a lot of times you click allow and then all of a sudden it has access to every one of your photos, whether or not you upload them. It also has access to your contacts where they can just get a whole bunch of phone numbers that work.
Yeah, I guess Joe Biden was spending a lot of time in TikTok and he forbade his staff to use TikTok.
Are you shitting me?
No, he really did forbid them.
Oh my God.
He was not spending a lot of time in TikTok.
Oh, there's a great story. You know,
how funny would that be?
Barack Obama's half brother has. Did you read the story about him?
He has COVID.
He's once again endorsing Trump, because he did in 2016.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
And he has mocked Democratic nominee Joe Biden as too old and feeble to win. I don't think he's going to make it. His teeth are falling off, Obama laughed. He looks like he's going to drop dead. But there's a whole story. He wrote his own book that he's self-publishing, Barack Obama's half-brother.
I agree.
Where is this guy?
He's in Kenya. He's in Kenya. And there's a rift between Barack Obama and his half-brother because the half-brother started the Barack Hussein Obama Senior Foundation.
Oh, no.
And I don't think President Obama was too cool with because his dad has got the same name as him. Using that name, and it turns out it never registered as a charity, and it takes in just like $50,000. But it looks like a scam. That story is really funny.
Well,
he's also mad that he won't.
Did this person carefully make sure all the money's being spent properly?
No. I think it's all being spent on him. Malik Obama is that,
and he also rags on President Obama.
He hates him.
He abandoned his Kenyan family in their greatest hours of need. And he's become rich and a snob.
That's right, rich and a snob. Keep reading the story. It's really good.
He became rich and a snob. When I saw what he was, the kind of person that wants people to worship him, he needs to be worshipped. I don't do that. I'm his older brother, so I don't do that.
What does being
his older brother have to do with it?
I don't know. Apparently he'll worship anybody as long as it's not his younger siblings.
He met his half-brother, Barack, when Barack was 24 years old. He was a Chicago community organizer. They enjoyed warm relations for a decade. Malik spent years working in the United States, where his dual citizenship, frequently traveled between the U.S. and his homeland. He was best man at Barack's wedding?
That kind of surprised me.
What?
Yeah, I'm surprised
I think
that.
Barack was not vetting very well at that time.
Did he not have any male friends?
I agree.
We had a big fight. Oh, the first fissures appeared shortly after Barack was elected to the White House. Malik told him of his plans to set up the foundation. We had a big fight because he was not in support, insisted I shut down the website and not continue. He had his reasons, but I was not having any of it. Hey, you're the fucking president. I can't have my little fund, dick. Obama. Thank you, Stevie. We talked late into the night before the 2009 inauguration. He threatened to cut me off if I continued with the idea.
Barack Hussein Obama.
The president might have been right to be skeptical. In 2011, the foundation ran into trouble for failing to register as a tax-exempt federally recognized nonprofit and falsely claiming it had. While the foundation still technically exists, it's raised less than $50,000 each year since 2011. Well, it's still some money. In the same call, Obama also informed his brother's aunt, Hawa Alma Hussein, the only surviving full sibling of their father, wouldn't be making the guest list for the inauguration. Ooh. While Obama's in the White House, Aunt Hawa lived in near poverty working as a charcoal seller in a collapsing house. Oh, according to Kenyan media. When Barack visited Kenya in July 15, Brother Malik made a personal appeal on behalf of Hawa during a family dinner. It was awkward as I tried to convey Auntie Howa's wishes to her nephew. She wanted him to look out for her, build her a house. I told him, you owe it to her, to the family, to do anything, something. Barack said, I'm broke.
What?
You really think Barack?
What?
I can't do that. I'm broke.
He probably said, well, you know, I got my money tied up, and as a president, we didn't really pay us that well, and I have to write off a lot, give a lot to charity, so I have a lot of free funds right now.
Maybe you should have the broken scene.
Translation, you're broke!
Have your foundation pay for it.
Yeah, what's that foundation you're talking about?
The foundation.
A couple of years ago.
I agree!
I didn't want you to do it, but you went in and did it. You might as well buy our house with it. Another aunt, Zetuni Onyango, fared no better, squatting illegally in Boston public housing before being granted asylum in 2010.
Remember that story was all over the town.
It was. She died penniless in 2014.
That's a great name.
Malik made a reluctant appeal to his brother for help burying her. We needed to pay for the bills and the cost of her transportation back to Kenya. Yeesh, that's expensive.
How much, really? But how much do you think it would be?
Well, he said...
This is kind of what I was getting at.
I would think it would cost like $7,500, $5,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Malik writes of an Oval Office meeting on April 16. Barack asked me how much. I told him roughly $20,000. This was too much, he said. I would have just written him a check. All right, yeah, don't ask me for any more. The president ultimately gave $5,000 to the effort, but it took another month before the Obama family could raise the rest of the funds. Oh, so Auntie lies there. What? Did somebody just break in on our Zoom?
Yeah, no, our internet just failed and Brandon's back.
Oh, okay. We need to pay the bills to cost for transportation. She had been good to him. I don't understand how somebody who claimed to be a relative or a brother can behave the way he's behaving, so cold and ruthless, and turn his back on the people he said were his family. He also mocked Joe Biden, too old and feeble. I don't think he's going to make it.
His teeth are going to fall. His teeth are falling off.
He looks like he's going to drop dead.
What does he mean his teeth are falling off?
I don't know. His teeth don't look bad.
I don't think he's got an axe grind. So the name of the...
My teeth were so messed up.
The name of the book is called...
I'd like to get that book. This guy's entertaining.
Big Bad Brother from Kenya.
I like people that you don't know what to expect from. This guy definitely sounds like he's full of surprises.
He's got 4 out of 5 stars, 8 ratings in the book. It's only 1 one-star review.
Only 8 ratings?
Well, it's brand new.
Malik's the type of family member who's always trying to tear you down. Jealous much, Malik? One-sided bore fest. Save your money and your time. Oh, my God.
Why did that guy buy the book?
He probably didn't, but the title of the review is, 1 star, you pick your nose, but you can't pick your family.
Oh, God.
Oh, there's another 1 star. Let's see. Malik's envy and jealousy of his brother is glaringly obvious. This is a sad peek into humanity. It's worse. Malik's envy, jealousy, and hatred of his brother comes squirting out of the pages of the book like a 5-year-old sebaceous cyst that had just been popped.
Yeah.
I could have truncated the 400-plus pages down to one page that states, I am envious and jealous of my brother who became the 44th president of the United States. That's an actual quote?
Wait, this guy read the whole book?
I guess. I'm sure there's some wonderful five stars. Malik Obama's the real, authentic Obama. That's a 5-star review.
Well, Detroit had another police shooting.
Yeah, this one was wild, man.
And, yeah, this guy... Okay, first of all, I'm watching Chief Craig this morning. He was on Fox 2. And he was pissed because the guy who was waving a machete at Detroit police. And
throwing daggers.
And threw a dagger and hit an officer under the eye. And I just saw the knife with all the blood on it.
Mm-hmm.
Was this guy injured badly? Must have been.
You know what? Usually they would say if they were in the hospital, but it didn't say that. It doesn't mean that he's not.
I would not think that anyone would have the ability to throw a dagger at a police officer before being shot to death.
Sure.
But this guy did.
And he got in the car.
Yes. He refused to stop coming at the police with his larger knife, his dagger. And so they shot him. And he still got in the police car. And then a guy who was not a policeman drove up and crashed into the door, I guess, while the guy was getting in the police car. And he died shortly after. But Chief Craig was furious because this guy had barricaded himself in a home at July. I forgot the date. In July.
So they were well aware of him.
And they had talked him out, but they were very, I mean, it was a very touch and go kind of situation. Anyway, he's bailed out the next day.
Wow. Where'd he get the money for bail?
Christy Teigen.
No.
Probably.
I almost believed you for a second. That's how ridiculous it is that it could have been possible.
Well, honestly, you know, there is bail money available now. There was this huge bail fund that was started. I don't know if these people, but this is a complaint that Chief Craig's been making lately, is that people are going in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah. Bail is fucked up. That's a whole other issue. But
well, if somebody barricades himself in his home, and he's under arrest and he won't come out, and it requires all these resources, I don't want that guy out of jail anytime soon. And what does he do? He waves a 32-inch sword at the police and then throws a dagger and hits a cop in the face.
Oh, I'm looking at the video of it now.
Be glad he didn't have a gun.
I didn't know there was video.
I haven't seen the video.
Why are you hogging the video, Brandon?
Oh, sorry. I'll pull it up over here.
I didn't know they were.
It looks like the dagger just bounces off his eye, but you can tell if it hits it blade side, it's going to cut him open.
Yeah, I don't want an 8-inch dagger thrown at me.
I don't don't want any dagger thrown at me.
But it's kind of like backhanded.
I just would not think this guy could get a dagger out of his hand before the cop would shoot him.
Wait, pause it real quick. I believe that they tased him twice. And he was wearing
protective, yeah. Something protective, so the tases didn't work.
I know, but I think that's why they weren't able to shoot him before he threw the dagger, because they thought they didn't know that as they're tasing him. All right, sorry, go ahead, carry on.
We want to get to Defender Sean Lay live this evening with brand new video of that encounter.
I tell you, guy with a machete.
Timberley, let's get right to the video. You'll see how incredibly dangerous this was. You'll see the officer backing away from this man. The man has a sword, and then watch closely. You'll see him fling a dagger at the officer's face, cutting that officer. Podcast. Tonight, we are learning that just a few days ago, Detroit police actually tried to help this man. The Facebook page, Metro Detroit News, with the shocking video. You can clearly hear a Detroit police officer telling a man dressed as a ninja and armed with a sword to drop the weapon. This wild and dangerous situation unfolding at 7:15 last night near Grand River and Myers on Detroit's west side. Watch. The officer is retreating as the man with the sword continues to come at him. Watch closely. The man throws something at the officer. The chief says it was this dagger, and it hit the officer in his face. Police say they tried to use a taser on the man. It appears he was wearing such a thick vest, the taser did not take effect. One shot was fired, hitting the man, but he kept on his rampage. There was concern that he was trying to get his hands on weapons inside a DPD squad car, and police could see he was armed with more knives. Tonight, the local four defenders have learned that the man shot and killed was 28-year-old Darian Walker. Sources say police just had contact with Walker on July 4th, called to a location near here for a barricaded gunman, who we are told was Walker. Police peacefully ended that situation and petitioned the court to get Walker immediate mental health help. But last night, we were told Walker was in the street with a sword and knives going after officer. Absolutely.
They arrested a 6-year-old guy in connection to Susie. What was her name? Susie Q?
Susie Zhao.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She go by Susie Q. They haven't said
why. They don't know what the connection is?
No, he's
a 60-year-old Pontiac man?
Yeah, and they caught him at I-275 and Michigan Avenue. And
do they know why? Why do they suspect him?
They haven't released anything. Okay. He's got to believe cell phone or something, but at least.
Yeah, I mean, she was the World Series of Poker gambler who had just moved back to Waterford.
She's 33. Would you have expected a 60-year-old guy from Pontiac to be the
murderer? I would not, no. Except she had no transportation, so I assume someone must have picked her up, or she must have bummed a ride from someone, and that's where it must have all
It was an Uber driver.
You never know. Probably not.
And then there was a shooting in Redford. Did you see the shooting in Redford with the 5-year-old girl that got shot non-fatally?
Who shot her?
Her 4-year-old brother.
Oh, that happened a while ago, didn't it?
I don't know. The story was out today in Redford Township. 5-year-old girl was shot in the head. Medics transported her to the hospital. 4-year-old brother found an unsecured handgun that belonged to a relative. But the main interesting, the interesting thing is that it was 1:39 in the morning.
And a 4- and a 5-year-old are up playing with a gun.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Unbelievable.
Yeah. But the parents have been charged now.
Oh, God. Damn. There was another story just like that. It might have been a couple months ago where I thought it was the 5-year-old shot the 4-year-old.
Maybe that's the story. Maybe it's out again because the parents are charged now.
Yeah.
And a 15-year-old just shot a 10-year-old the other day.
Really?
So, yeah, that was in an apartment complex. That's been on the news.
Fuck,
so.
Man.
Well, this is the fourth police shooting in the month, which, you know, I don't think they had any for quite a while. You know, Chief Craig was naturally upset about it. He feels that suspects are emboldened. Criminals are emboldened. And, you know, honestly, you see it at these protests where people are just throwing shit at police cars and, you know, dancing on police cars. And
so, you know, it's interesting. So the first one was the Hakeem
Littleton
one.
Yeah.
Where the protest happened immediately. And then the second one was also, you know, when that one turned out to be very justified. Then the second one, you didn't see the protest come out about the second one, and the third one, no response from protest at all, because maybe you're jumping the gun a little bit, not realizing that some of these are justified and that it's a crazy fucking job to be a cop.
Yeah, I don't know. The Detroit Coalition Against Police Brutality was bitching about this one, which is, I was like, what? But they were concerned.
If they don't bitch, they don't.
Because they said this has become a shoot to kill policy, and they want an independent agency to investigate. But then the guy said, it doesn't take an expert in weaponry to know a dart doesn't compare to a bullet.
A dart.
This, you know,
fuck you.
People just love to stretch the truth. I don't know what that is, whether it's, they shot a guy sleeping at Wendy's. Or
if that group didn't do this, then they ceased to exist. That's what's so stupid.
Yeah. And then there was a Dunkin' Donuts where employees spit in a cop's coffee in Chicago, and they arrested a 25-year-old Vincent Sessler. And the cop just happened to pull the top off, and apparently this guy spit so gross and viciously that there wasn't any argument that someone had spit in his coffee.
Hey, at least it was revealed, though, that tampon at the Starbucks was not a tampon. You remember that story? The tampon that ended up in the officer's...
Oh, yeah. 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 What was it?
It was a cleaning rag. Not that this is any better, regardless of who the customer is, but when they scoop the ice, they scoop the cleaning rag in it and put it in the blender. Gross.
Oh, nice. What?
Gross. Yeah, they just scoop.
Oh, my God.
Just put it
in
the blender.
Oh, that's nice.
Mixing it up.
Ugh. Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. This thing with the cops, I just...
There's a lot of anti-police rhetoric out there, and I think that's what James Craig feels.
Yeah, he was quite honest about it. He feels that it's not fair, and he feels that people are really emboldened to take on the police, which, by the way, is exactly what we don't need, because so many of these incidents, if people just didn't resist arrest, nothing would come of it. They could settle it all later. But I hear very little discussion about that, and I wish people would talk about it. I don't know if you can really get people in that moment to go, oh, yeah, if I resist arrest, I increase my chances of something bad happening. Probably not. I just got something. Okay, is this going to be real? This is what I hate about 2020 is...
Everything?
Pretty much everything, yes.
Yeah.
But also wondering if something is real or not and feeling you have to check and double check and triple check.
What is it?
Or somebody's going to question you. You know what? I can't get it to open. Is our internet sucking today?
Well, aside from when it kicked Brandon off because it didn't like him.
I'm back.
He'll teach that internet. He'll teach that internet. Let's see. Come on. Open
you up. Are fake news.
Open up. It was something about NBA television and how they doubled the ratings the first night, but that since the first night, the NBA television ratings have not been very good.
I wouldn't be surprised. Most people are checking it out.
Let's see.
They're
talking about the WNBA ratings, too, which are not good.
No, they're not on TV, are they?
Yeah, they have more games on TV than ever.
Yeah, the Athletic NBA returns big games, but not so large ratings. But then this one says television ratings unsurprisingly skyrocket as NBA and MLB return. 2.9 million average for the NBA doubleheader.
Oh.
2 days ago.
Ooh, day two was a whole different story.
Clippers and Lakers did 3.5 million.
Yeah, that's good.
That's really good.
First night, isn't it?
That was the first night, yeah.
Yeah, the second night, Celtics, Bucks, 1.3 million. Mavs, Rockets, 1.7 million. And baseball had 922,000 watch Mets, Braves.
That's not
1
bad,
million
though.
Watched the Cubs and the Brewers, and 777,000 watched the Angels. That's not...
Those aren't too bad.
I would have thought they would do a lot better,
for national
honestly.
Broadcasts?
Yeah.
Ooh, breaking.
For baseball just coming back? Looks Absolutely.
Looks like Microsoft is going to buy TikTok now, so...
That's what I... Yeah,
that,
I thought...
That just broke, yeah. I knew so they were asking
them to. As long as they just move the servers over, all these kids can keep their accounts
it's totally
and keep
fine.
Dancing.
Yeah, and then Bill Gates will know all your stuff for when he vaccinates you.
Yeah, the opening night was very good. Since then, not
well, here,
so good.
Here's the WNBA story. You ready?
Yeah.
Strong start for the WNBA. The WNBA bubble openers, July 25th and 26th had solid ratings. The game between the Sparks and the Phoenix... Mercury.
I'm dying to hear what solid ratings are on the WNBA.
It's the Sparks. On it was on ABC, so remember that last
on ABC.
Yeah, well, they have nothing else to air.
Okay, so what'd they draw?
Guess
2 million.
No, this is during the day.
It's ABC.
It's during the day.
1 million
Saturday during the day. 539,000. ABC ESPN said ABC's telecast between the Chicago Sky and the Las Vegas Aces averaged 433,000 viewers. Last Saturday's contest between the Seattle Storm and New York Liberty, 419,000. Well, that's not that far off of the NBA, though.
Yeah, they had 1.3 and 1.7. Although those are their first games. Those are the first games. It's actually pretty far from the NBA on the first games, but the first games did extremely well.
Here's ESPN's spin. The network's four-game opening slate averaged 401,000 viewers across ESPN and ABC, up 63% over the 2019 WNBA regular season average. Yeah, because it's a bubble and there's nothing else on.
It's also on ABC.
And there's a curiosity to it.
Duh. Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Have you watched any of the NBA?
You know, I did have it on. I just could not get into it.
Well, I don't know who went.
And when the playoffs start, I'll have more interest.
I feel like an old man because I'm like, who are these people? I can't read the name on the back of
the jerseys. I kind of do that too, yeah. Who is this I can't breathe guy?
I'm sorry. That's how I felt. I couldn't tell. And it just looks a little weird, annoying.
I wish they just played basketball. I don't want to worry about who's standing for the national anthem.
Well, don't. I don't watch the national anthem. Who cares? Nobody watches NBA till the fourth quarter.
I wasn't watching during the national anthem. So I don't even know. Did they carry the national anthem on the TV broadcast? They probably didn't. They shouldn't.
I feel like that's a thing for Twitter to just watch over and then either get mad about and yell about or be happy about.
Well, it's just really funny when it gets to the point where one guy stands for the national anthem and is like, "Whoa, what's wrong with that guy?"
Can we just stop playing the anthem?
If no one can stand for the national anthem without getting shit, then it's probably time we don't have a national anthem.
Well, shouldn't the national anthem be reserved for celebrations of the country and not sporting events?
I don't know. I honestly never minded the national anthem. It's just like one more thing. It's like you hear it and you know the game's about to start. If you're outside the stadium or you're inside the stadium.
I think even pre-Kaepernick, how many people really treated it with any reverence?
Hey, I like it. You unpatriotic bastard.
I don't know about
patriotic. People can't handle it, man.
I don't think you don't love it. I just found it to be a tradition that didn't bother me. It wasn't like, oh my God, there's no national anthem. What am I going to do?
It doesn't bother me either. I don't understand it. People can't handle it.
I never thought like they should eliminate it, but if we're going to have a fight over, you know, why people are kneeling or why people are standing, then I think I could stand not having it in sports. I think it's really sad, but
I just realized something. If they got rid of it, that means no more flyovers, so never mind. I'd rather have the flyovers.
Will Michigan football be taking a knee when the season starts?
There's not going to be a season.
Well, I'm sure they're going to give the Pac-10 players all those things they asked for. Yeah, we'd never have versions like this anymore. I'd miss that.
Or Roseanne's. Or Carl Lewis's.
Yes. Wait, there's another really good one there.
Robbie Knievel's kid.
The funny part of that was that he was so proud of her.
I know, it was terrible.
And she was like 12. I mean, she was seriously would be like,
yeah.
But I'd say that maybe the 9,134,007th person that should have sung that anthem, but she was his kid, so they let her. Anyway, get us out of here. Let's all go on home.
Oh man. Okay.
Get on with life. If I could just fire it. When is Mel on MeTV?
Tonight.
Tonight.
Like 2 hours.
Okay. People are so geeked about that. And we've got a recording, right?
We're supposed to, yeah. I don't even know what MeTV is.
We need to have Mel on, too, because there's auctions going on. People are so fired up about Mel.
Good luck. He doesn't like us.
Well, he answered the phone last time. I think things are
now
better.
Now he's going Hollywood.
Things are better with us and Mel.
I don't know.
Batmobile Barry is going to be pissed off about this episode.
Maybe she could Batmobile Barry on the trash it the next day.
Barry, that sounds great.
Hey, thanks to Dr. Yaldo for coming back.
Yeah.
And by all means,
Huge.
If you have considered LASIK, call 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell them we sent you, and you can have eagle eyes like Eli. And then those of you who have your Royal Oak bucks, please go ahead, spend them. Go downtown. All these myriad of places are just so crazy busy, and it's a lot of it's our people, which is pretty cool. So spend your money. And remember, Thursday and Friday, they have the $10 off Lyft. Thursday through Sunday, actually. $10 off Lyft.
Yeah, well, replicas.
G-O-2-R-O. Go to Royal Oak. 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. You can Lyft in and Lyft out for $10 off each way and spend your Royal Oak dollars. Or spend your own dollars. And there's more coming. So we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye.